We finally made it. The final SmackDown before WrestleMania. I don't know about you guys, but I am very happy that WrestleMania is finally here. And this road to WrestleMania is now complete. This very lackluster road to WrestleMania. I've been ready for it to be done for at least 2 weeks now. So I am very happy that we have finally made it to the end of said road. And finally, WrestleMania weekend is upon us. And we had John Cena back on TV one last time. He was on SmackDown tonight since they're already in Las Vegas. And it looks like he got a haircut, too. John Cena was on SmackDown tonight for one final face-to-face with his opponent in the Night 2 main event. That, of course, being Cody Rhodes. Now, the last time that we saw these two men in the ring together, it did not end well for John Cena. He got laid out with a crossroads. So I thought maybe this time it would be Cody Rhodes eating an attitude adjustment. Keep people wondering, okay, one for one. Who's going to win on Sunday? But they went in a totally different direction here, and they actually gave us another crossroads. And for the second time in as many appearances, John Cena was the one who was left laying at the end of this segment. But this segment here at the end of the show was very interesting for a lot of different reasons. The main reason being that Cody Rhodes got booed. As soon as he went to begin speaking, he got booed. And John Cena, you know, he also got boos. I'm not, you know, implying that John Cena got wildly cheered here by this crowd. But this is the first time here in his entire title run, let alone this road to WrestleMania, where Cody Rhodes has gotten this kind of treatment. He got the AEW treatment. This is how the AEW fans were treating Cody Rhodes in the waning months of his run in that company. And so that was very interesting that it took this long. But of course, you know, it's a WrestleMania crowd. And so with a WrestleMania crowd, you don't really know what to expect. But in this promo here, we had Cody Rhodes actually winning the crowd back. And one of the ways he won the crowd back, we had a reference to Pale Sting from Starrcade 97. Oh, if you know, you know. We got a Pale Sting reference. We got a Hall & Oates reference, for those of you who picked up on that. And what appeared to be, now I could be wrong here, maybe my viewpoint was not all that great, but from the camera shot they showed, it appeared as if we had a karate chop from John Cena as he karate chopped Cody and went to give him an attitude adjustment, only for Cody to slip out and deliver his second crossroads in the last few weeks. If it wasn't obvious enough before, coming into tonight, the Karate Kid is leaving WrestleMania, a 17-time world champion. That was my big takeaway here from the end of this segment. He is going to set the record. He is going to make history. And look, part of it also, as far as the boos for Cody, is that there are people who are going to be at this WrestleMania who understand that this is John Cena's final WrestleMania match. They are going to be there whether he wins or loses to witness history, because I take him at his word, he will never again have a match at WrestleMania. So they're coming to them. This feels special. Not only because it's his final WrestleMania match, but because he has the opportunity to go out there and make history by winning a 17th world championship. This was always a possibility. This was always a fear, which is that if you did this match, whether you turn Cena heel, if you kept him babyface, you run the risk of turning at least a portion of the audience against Cody, because maybe they like Cody. It's not that they hate the guy. It's not like he has Dominic Mysterio heat or Charlotte Flair heat, but John Cena is the one going out there for the final time. John Cena is the one going out there trying to set the record, not Cody. There was always a risk to doing that. So I don't know if this is going to be the same reaction that we see on Sunday or not. I'm sure it'll be more of a mixed reaction, you know, for Cody when he comes out on Sunday. But that was how they went off the air tonight, with John Cena flat on his back for the second time, and Cody Rhodes with that smile on his face, standing there posing with the WWE Championship. Get ready. The Karate Kid getting number 17 on Sunday at WrestleMania. Now, John Cena is heading into his 20th WrestleMania. That's what he told us tonight. You know who else is heading into his 20th WrestleMania? His 20th WrestleMania match on Sunday as well? Randy Orton. Because Cena and Orton, they got their start right around the same time. Randy Orton at this moment does not have an opponent for WrestleMania. And we're not going to know who his opponent is for WrestleMania until Sunday, because we are getting a Randy Orton open challenge. And I have an idea as to who I think the opponent is going to be. It is pretty obvious after the show tonight that it will not be Solo Sikoa, which, by the way, deserves some applause. Thank God. I mean, the way the show went off the air last week, I was a little worried because we had Randy Orton and Solo Sikoa fighting off into the crowd. I said, oh my God, please. All due respect to Solo Sikoa, I don't need to see Randy Orton and Solo Sikoa as a WrestleMania match. So at least we can rest easy knowing that is not going to be the match. But it also doesn't appear like it's going to be Nick Aldis. It's going to be somebody else. And who that person is, again, I have a theory as to who it may be, but we won't know for sure until Sunday. The other thing also, and this is really too bad if it works out this way, is that Rey Mysterio was in action tonight. There was a six-man tag team match that was made during the show. It was Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, and Rey Fénix taking on Chad Gable and the Creed Brothers. And it didn't take very long into the match. Didn't look like anything out of the ordinary. Rey Mysterio got pulled out of the ring. He was chasing Chad Gable on the outside and was sliding into the ring. And Julius Creed grabbed him by the leg and he yanked him hard. I mean, no harder than normal, but he, you know, gave him a hard yank and he hit the floor on the outside. And we did not see Rey Mysterio again after that. He was laying on the outside for the rest of the match, never got back in the ring. He was being tended to by a trainer. And then there was video of Rey being helped out of the ringside area to the back. He had to be carried to the back. He could not put any weight at all on his left knee. And so that is not good, especially because he's got a match tomorrow against El Grande Americano at WrestleMania, which now appears to be in grave jeopardy. And so what a kick in the balls that would be for Rey, who didn't have to be in a match tonight. But you got 3 hours to fill, and so he ended up in the ring on a show that he's not even on the SmackDown roster. But he ends up in a match and potentially now is out of WrestleMania. We don't know that, but it's not looking good. And I would feel doubly bad, not just for Rey, but for, you know, all jokes aside, for Chad Gable, who is about to head into his very first singles match ever at WrestleMania. And what happens with him now if this match ends up being called off? So I'm going to be checking periodically to see if there's any updates, you know, while I'm streaming as far as Rey is concerned, but it didn't look good. So we'll have to wait and find out. We also had a tag team championship match on the show tonight. Boy, do I got some news on that. And we also had on this show the annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which we have on SmackDown every single year. And we've had many luminaries win this battle royal. I remember when Baron Corbin won the battle royal, and we've had some big names too. You know, we've had Big Show, we've had Braun Strowman, we've had Jey Uso. Last year it was Bronson Reed, right? And look at the fall that he went on to have late last year. So who would walk away with the win tonight in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? I'm going to talk about that. Just so you know, the WWE Hall of Fame is taking place in about 90 minutes. It starts in 90 minutes because, again, they're out west. So East Coast time, it's not starting until 1 o'clock in the morning. But it is taking place tonight at the Fountain Blue or wherever it is that it's being held. So we have that coming up in a few hours. We also know that Jey Uso is going to be challenging Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship in the opening match on night one. That is the match that is going to open the show tomorrow night. That match is going to set the tone for the rest of the show. So that'll be WrestleMania Saturday. And also we found out by commercial tonight that Cardi B is going to be hosting SummerSlam, which I believe is new information. I remember Cardi B was, I think, part of the announcement that SummerSlam was going to be two nights in MetLife Stadium. But I don't think they announced that she was going to be the host. So yeah, she will be hosting SummerSlam in August. So a lot of different things going on tonight on a show that honestly, it was a mix of good and meh. Again, this WrestleMania season, this road to WrestleMania has felt longer because this is the latest that WrestleMania has ever been. WrestleMania is usually, it used to be in March sometimes, but typically WrestleMania is the first week of April. maybe the very beginning of the second week. We've never had a WrestleMania on the 19th and the 20th of April. We've never had a 420. We've never had an Easter, I don't think Easter, WrestleMania before, so this is different. And I think that hurt. It hurt a lot. And this WrestleMania road has been dragging. Like I said, I'm very happy that we're finally here. My attitude is, let's get the show on the road, please. Let's get these shows over with. I'm ready for WrestleMania. And I'm also ready for the SmackDown review, which is why you're all here. This is your Friday night SmackDown review. We are live on YouTube. It is April 18th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys for hanging out with me on what is going to be a very busy weekend. And those of you who are with me tonight, I certainly hope that you are with me tomorrow and Sunday and Monday, because we got the Raw after Mania too, which also should be a big show. Super chats are open. We have a goal for bonus Be the Booker going on in the live chat right now. But if you want to support, if you want to drop a question or a comment, you may do so. You will see them popping up on your screen. Let me also throw this up here for you. Because as I said, tomorrow is WrestleMania night one. And I'm going to be live as soon as it's over, whatever time that may be. And then live again on Sunday night for night two of WrestleMania. In between all of that, there will be a podcast. Episode 910 of The Sound Duff will be dropping sometime Sunday afternoon. I'm going to try to make sure it doesn't go out too late because I don't want to interfere with WrestleMania. But that's what I mean when I say a lot of content this weekend. I'm going to be very busy, and I hope you guys will be able to join me for each of the live reviews. So let's get into this here. Because when this show started tonight, we had a shot outside of Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. They were arriving to the venue. Tama went to go grab his phone. Out of the back seat, he got attacked by LA Knight, the United States champion, who slammed a car door on his left hand. And we were told later in the show that Tama Tonga was taken to a local medical facility. So we did not see him for the rest of the night. This was the first step in the master plan of LA Knight to take out a member of the Bloodline so that he wouldn't get involved in his business at WrestleMania. Now, back inside the building, SmackDown technically opened with the man who is... Actually, he's the man who closed Raw on Monday night. He opened the show tonight, and he is part of the big triple threat main event on night one. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and this man, Seth Rollins, made his way out to the ring. And what did he do? He sat cross-legged in the middle of the ring, just like CM Punk. Said Punk returned to the ring after 10 long years, but it wasn't a WWE ring. Ooh. Rollins asked if Punk returned because the fans chanted his name for all these years or because somebody wrote him a big fat check. I'm going to say maybe a little bit of both. He said when Punk burned that bridge like he does all the others, he came back to WWE, and Rollins said it's because they wrote him another big fat check. Tell me when I'm telling lies, he said. He said Punk didn't come back to WWE because of the fans. He called Punk a liar and a coward. Meanwhile, he said Roman Reigns doesn't even pretend to care about the fans or WWE. He said Reigns is in the Roman Reigns business. And he called him Mr. Private Jet, Mr. Limited Schedule, Mr. Handpicked Opponent. Rollins said he knows everything about sacrifice, unlike his WrestleMania opponents. He said the stuff with Punk actually started 12 years ago, and it started with Paul Heyman. Said Heyman brought himself, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose into WWE to be a shield for CM Punk. And every single night, he sacrificed everything that he had in this ring to be that shield. And did he get any of the credit? Absolutely not. Because everybody in the back wanted the spotlight on Roman Reigns. Actually, it was one man in particular who wanted the spotlight. Come hell or high water, he wanted the spotlight on Roman Reigns. Crowd reactions be damned. But he who shall not be named. Says it was always about Roman Reigns, the next John Cena, the next cash cow for WWE. And after CM Punk took his ball and went home, he heard little echoes of CM Punk chants. Meanwhile, he was making every show. He was sacrificing everything that he had, and it all came to a head last year in the main event of WrestleMania. With his knee hanging by a thread, and with his stepfather at home dying of cancer, but he made sure that he was there at the very end to be a shield, to make sure that Roman Reigns lost. This story between them started 12 years ago when Paul Heyman brought Roman and himself into WWE, and it ends tomorrow night in the most important triple threat match in the history of their industry. This is the same thing that he said on Monday night. The most important triple threat match, not only in the history of the company, but in the history of all of professional wrestling. And he promises that he will do exactly what he's done for the past 12 years. He will lay it all on the line. He will sacrifice everything that he has to make sure that this business, this company, this industry moves forward in the right direction. And that's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. And then he did his hyena laugh to close out the segment. As Seth Rollins' promos go, this was one of his better ones. He laid out all of the context behind this match tomorrow night and the history between all three of these men. And he set himself up to basically be some kind of savior, right? I need to win this match because I'm going to be the savior of this company. I'm going to be the savior of this industry, which, of course, is ridiculous. When you speak in hyperbole like this, it just sounds so just fucking ridiculous. But this is how they're promoting this match tomorrow night. What they're really doing here is they're really, without saying it, they're teasing this favor that Rollins says Heyman now owes him for not stomping him into the mat last week. And in effect, they're teasing the idea that there may be some kind of association with Heyman and Rollins. That's what they want you to think. Even the mention at the very end, oh, that's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. What was the final scene that we had on Monday night? It was Paul Heyman cowering in the corner and Seth Rollins standing there with a chair in his hand staring at Heyman. Not the first time that one of these segments with them has ended with Rollins standing tall looking down at Paul Heyman. This is what they want you to think. Whether it goes that way or not, this is what they want you to think. And so does he leave with Paul Heyman at the end of the night, right? This is certainly a possibility. I don't think that Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins run off together like Romeo and Juliet at the end of this match. But is that what we're going to see? Are we going to see a situation where Paul Heyman, who has been stressed to the max and has been pulled, again, like Gumby, like Stretch Armstrong, back and forth between Roman Reigns and CM Punk, you're my tribal chief, but you're my best friend. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. And in the end, the pressure just gets to him. And does he leave with Seth Rollins? Does he just leave? And, you know, and I don't mean leave with Rollins, but just leave. Where I'm not going to help either one of you. You know, and Rollins ends up getting the win that way. Does he not align with Paul Heyman? But he gets the win, and then he plays a role in the match on night two, the main event, that is, on night two. That's also a possibility here, because there are people who think that Rollins is, you know, potentially going to end up as part of this heel crew. People talking about a third man, like fucking Mabel, joining the NWO back in 96. I think Bischoff still rips it to Meltzer, saying that Meltzer claimed Mabel was going to be the third man. But is there going to be a third man in that? Even though we've barely seen the second man. I made that comment recently, like, people still talking about the possibility of a third man. Look, I can't discount it. It's just hilarious to me that people would think like that, because we haven't seen The Rock in a month and a half. We've barely seen Cena, and people are talking about third man. Where's the other one? Could it happen? It's possible. Could Seth Rollins end up aligned with them? Could Seth Rollins win night one, get involved in the main event on night two, and cost Cody Rhodes the WWE Championship? And if so, how do you make sense of that? And then where does that go? So, I mean, there are different possibilities here. Honestly, it all ends up in the execution. If the execution is great and the execution makes sense, then I'm intrigued and I would love to see where that goes. The idea of Rollins and Heyman becoming an on-screen item, you know, manager and client, it's not something that Rollins needs, but I can't say that, oh, I would hate it. I don't think it's necessary, but that doesn't mean that if it happens, I can't grow to like it if there's a good reason for it. It's just not a pairing that I'm expecting. It's not a pairing that I think is necessary. But I do feel like there's something that's got to go down in that night one main event, given that they're closing the show. And does what happens in night one, does it end up connecting to night two in some way? These are the questions that I don't have any answers to, but I'm curious to see if one does have something to do with the other. We'll find out. Now up next was the annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, won last year by Bronson Reed, who they then didn't do a whole hell of a lot with, but there was an opportunity for him to really get over at the end of the summer, and he took full advantage of it. And Bronson Reed became one of those must-see attractions on Monday Night Raw. And the matches,
the best moveset.
And the matches and the segments with him and Braun Strowman, and, you know, Godzilla and King Kong, there was a lot of good stuff that came out of that, and it's really unfortunate that he got hurt when he did. But he was the winner of last year's Battle Royal. This year, doing it on SmackDown, which they've done now for several years, it actually paid off for them because it was a good way for them to kill time, because this is the first time that SmackDown is 3 hours. So doing the Battle Royal on this show ended up working to their advantage. So there were already wrestlers in the ring who came out as they were running down the matches for the WrestleMania card. They did that again at the very end of the show. It was a little odd that they were doing it here so early in the show, but then when they came back live, it made sense because most of the wrestlers were already in the ring. Rey Fénix and Shinsuke Nakamura were the only ones who got televised entrances. The other thing also is they said this first hour was commercial-free, which for the most part it was, but not really. They didn't even make it 50 minutes in, and we got our first commercial. But again, because they were commercial-free, we had to go through the WrestleMania card so they can get everybody down to the ring for the Battle Royal. So again, Rey Fénix, Nakamura, they get entrances, and then we kick things off here. Carlito was the first one eliminated. He had his apple with him, and R-Truth took it away from him and took a bite out of his apple. Carlito got dumped out. Then R-Truth got dumped out. Los Garza, they tried to dump Rey Fénix, who countered out of it and dumped Birdo. Then he dumped Angel, so they were both out of there. Theory and Waller, they eliminated. Both members are pretty deadly. Ludwig Kaiser was in the Battle Royal. He was eliminated by Tyler Bate, he eliminated Tyler Bate. Santos Escobar, who has been showing a lot of respect recently, he has been very, magnanimous, I guess, towards Rey Fénix. He was talking to Fénix here in this Battle Royal, and he was trying to form an alliance with him. Like, oh, let's work together. And he thought that they had an understanding, but then Fénix ended up eliminating him. So I guess that's going to be what kind of turns Escobar against Fénix, I would imagine. And we'll end up getting a match out of that soon. The Creeds, they dumped out Tozawa. That pissed off Otis, who clotheslined Julius and Brutus out of the ring. But in doing so, all the momentum sent Otis himself out over the top rope. So all three of them went flying out of the ring. They were all eliminated. Andrade, hey, there he is. There's Andrade. I've been wondering where he is. Andrade was in the Battle Royal. He dumped out Grayson Waller, and then he dumped out Austin Theory. And then all the luchadors who were in the ring, Andrade, Dragon Lee, Rey Fénix, they all surrounded Chad Gable. Oh, and Joaquin Wilde was in there as well, Cruz del Toro, the LWO. So they all kind of gang up on Chad Gable here. And Rey Fénix ends up being the one to do the deed. He dumps Gable out of the ring. Gable's gone. And Gable has obviously had some terrible luck this year with the Lucha Bros. It has not worked out well for him. What a damn shame, by the way, that Chad Gable didn't get a match at WrestleMania this year. He is relegated to the SmackDown before Mania. No Chad Gable match at WrestleMania. I can't believe it. Nakamura shoved Joaquin Wilde off the ropes to the floor when he went climbing. Karrion Kross was in the Battle Royal, and he took Cruz del Toro to the floor with a forearm shot as he was setting up for some kind of springboard move. He got forearmed out to the floor. And then he looked down at him and he shouted at him that Rey Mysterio was just using him. He's just using you, he said. Dragon Lee came back and dumped out Karrion Kross. And this actually got boos from the crowd. Remember the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania X7? If you don't, I don't blame you. I enjoyed it, though. But we had the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17, and Doink the Clown comes out, and he gets one of the biggest pops of anybody in the entire match. And when he got dumped, I want to say maybe it was Kamala that dumped him, but whatever it was, Doink gets dumped, and everybody booed. Like, they were genuinely upset to see him go out of the battle royal. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I was just watching it recently, because they had uploaded it, I think, to the Vault channel on YouTube. And so I'm watching this, and I'm not saying Cross is Doink, but you know, he gets eliminated from the battle royal, and the people boo because they genuinely were upset that he got dumped out of the ring. I was like, whoa, like it was kind of nice. I'll talk about why in a second, but it was an unexpected reaction. Yeah, you know, for the people to respond that way means that there are people out there who care. Are they listening? Were the people in the back listening and paying attention to that? I hope so. I know sometimes they're not too keen on the people voicing their opinions. But the fact that it wasn't online, hopefully they'll actually take that under consideration. So Nakamura dumped Dragon Lee out of the ring. Pete Dunne pulled Kaiser out over the top rope to the floor. That kind of surprised me. Pete Dunne has not been pushed lately. Kaiser hasn't really been pushed that hard either, but he's been pushed more than Pete Dunne. So him going out there surprised me. The Miz and Carmelo Hayes were also in this battle royal, and they ended up on the apron together. They weren't fighting, but they just ended up out on the apron. Pete Dunne did the finger snap move on Melo. Miz then saved him from falling backwards. He would have been eliminated. So the Miz saved him. And Hayes he pulled Miz, and Miz went flying through the ropes back into the ring. So he was safe. But then he ended up, he did that with Melo. Melo ends up getting slingshotted back into the ring. So Miz was able to get him to safety. But then he took the bullet from Melo. And Miz ended up getting knocked to the floor. Melo was still in, though, and he came back and eliminated Pete Dunne. And then we were down to the final four, which was Rey Fénix, Shinsuke Nakamura, Andrade, and Carmelo Hayes. Nakamura got dropped.
What about Kevin Dunne?
Oh, boy.
Fuck Kevin Dunne.
That's right. Fuck Kevin Dunne. Thank you, King Nader, for the $38 Fuck Kevin Dunne super chat. Never gets old. Never gets old. It's a message that needs to be communicated more often.
Have the best moveset.
We need to hear that more often. So Nakamura got drop-kicked off the ropes and out to the floor by Andrade. And so then there were three. We had Andrade and Melo. They were on the ropes. They were not in the corner, but they were kind of in the center. I think Melo went for a springboard move, but Andrade met him there. So Fénix came up behind them and shoved them both over the top. Neither man's feet hit the floor. They're hanging there, but Rey Fénix did the dumb babyface move where he just assumes they were eliminated, so now he turns where his back is turned, and he's on his knees like, yes, yes, yes. Like, he's celebrating, not realizing that these two men are still in the match. Melo clubs him from behind. Fénix, though, made a comeback, and he was running wild on both men, and he went to walk the ropes. He has his goodbye amigo kick, right? So he's about to run the top rope. When all of a sudden, who should show up on the apron to trip him up? It's El Grande Americano, who's not in the Battle Royal, but he did make a cameo appearance here tonight. So Fénix gets crotched, and El Grande Americano pulls him out to the floor, so Rey Fénix is eliminated. He is out of the Battle Royal. See, that's for Chad Gable. Gable got dumped by Fénix, and so I guess Americano didn't like that very much. And then it was down to two. We were down to Andrade. We were down to Carmelo Hayes. Best of seven? Let's make it eight. So they had this great back and forth that ended with Andrade blasting him with that back elbow. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't even really want to like watch it back and slow it down to like see how he does it. Every time he hits that move, even going back to when he was using it in AEW, it's just, it's so vicious. You know, it makes that great noise. He does it. It's such like a rapid fire move. Like if you're an inch off, like a split second difference, and you can break someone's fucking nose. But it just, it's such a great move. And so he catches him with it. And so both men now are down. We have the double down in the ring. And the fans now give both men a standing ovation. They're loving this. So they made it back to their feet. Melo dropped him with a suplex into a cutter. Melo went for the springboard. Andrade met him on the ropes, as he did earlier. But Melo slipped down, and he grabbed him, and he dumped him out over the top rope, and Andrade hit the floor hard. And so Carmelo Hayes is the winner of the 2025 Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And look at that. Look at that. He actually won something. Carmelo doesn't do too many, he doesn't do too much winning here on this show. Now they have him in this tag team with The Miz. But even before that, he wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire with wins. But I got to give a shout out here to Zangetsu in the chat, who had a comment earlier that I thought was just dead on. He said, the only time Melo don't miss is when the game isn't on the line. And it's so true. It is just so true. You know, these Andre Battle Royals, they're usually throwaway, you know, for me. They're throwaway affairs. I enjoyed this one a little bit more. I wonder if maybe the lack of commercials, I'm sure the lack of commercials helped, because usually you have the commercial breaks. We didn't have that this time, so that was kind of nice. Whether it leads to a sustained push or not for Carmelo Hayes, look, I've been fooled with this stuff before. I'll believe it when I see it. He was the number one draft pick for this show last year. They went on to do very little with him. And when I say very little in the way of anything meaningful. They did not treat him like a first-round draft pick. I'm not saying he needs to go on a Goldberg undefeated streak, but you can't honestly look at what they ended up doing with Carmelo Hayes last year and said, oh, this is great for his career. It wasn't. It was terrible. Despite all the great matches that he and Andrade went out there and had, it was terrible. It was awful. So I hope that this is the beginning of a turnaround for him, because he is very talented. And whatever you think his ceiling is, he should absolutely be doing more than what they have him doing right now. For his sake, I hope so. I hope that this is the beginning of something special for him, whether it's on SmackDown or Raw. It doesn't matter. I liked how they had Phoenix dump Gable, and then they had Americano come out to get revenge. For the time he was in there, Phoenix looked good. You know, he was obviously one of the last ones in there at the end. He got to eliminate a bunch of people. It also opens up the possibility of a Phoenix cameo at WrestleMania is what I was thinking at this point. And we'll talk about the Americano match with Rey Mysterio a little bit later. But before all that happened, I'm watching this thinking, okay, maybe Phoenix will get involved, or he'll be present in some way at WrestleMania. Maybe he'll get on the show in some way. But I don't want to ignore this. I want to go back to this here. Karrion Kross gets eliminated, and there were loud boos. People were upset that he got dumped as early as he did. And maybe there were some people who thought he would actually win. I didn't. Because there's really no reason to think that he was going to win anything. But the fact that the fans cared enough to actually boo and say, hey, we don't like the fact that you dumped this man out of this match, is a good sign for him. And I talked about Karrion Kross during my Raw review because he had a rare singles match on Raw against AJ Styles. And so I was talking about him for a little bit. And, you know, maybe they'll take notice of this and say, you know what? Maybe there is something worth doing with this guy where we give him not just more consistent television time, but come up with a real story for him. Instead of having him go around and just get involved in other people's business and make little cryptic comments, let's come up with something a little bit more involved for him to do, like a dedicated story, and give him a push and see where it goes. You know, they've had him under contract for so long, and it just feels like for so long, you know, he's been on the back burner. They tried the Final Testament stuff. Obviously, the Final Testament is no more. AOP is gone. Paul Ellering is gone. But he remains with Scarlett because they must see something there. And why they haven't tapped into it more, I don't know. Is it going to work or not? I don't know. But it feels like we're kind of reaching this critical mass now where it's like, okay, now he's either going to get some kind of a push, like a mid-level push, and see where it goes, or not. And it was very interesting hearing the reaction tonight. I would like to see them try. Just try. Try something. Heel or babyface. I actually think he could probably get over as a babyface too. But that was very interesting, the reaction tonight. So then they aired a sit-down interview. Or more accurately, I should probably say, a snippet of a sit-down interview. Filmed a few days ago with the Waldorf Astoria with Wade Barrett, speaking with Charlotte Flair, who, of course, is challenging for the WWE Women's Championship this weekend, tomorrow. He said things have gotten personal of late with her and Tiffany Stratton. She said, Charlotte goes, "You don't say." He said she was even sent away from the arena by management, and then Charlotte said, "Well, it's not the first time." So why have things gotten so ugly between the two of you? And Charlotte took a long pause before she spoke and said that she doesn't love it. They've moved past it. She has a chip on her shoulder and she thinks Tiffany does as well. She doesn't love it, but now people are really invested in their WrestleMania match. And if there's one thing that matters to her, it's that people are tuned in to see Charlotte Flair and her match. This is how they got here, but people are invested, and that's what this business is about. Sometimes it can be insensitive, but that's how you get tough skin. Certainly didn't seem like she had tough skin when she was faltering under the weight of the reaction that she got a few weeks ago in Chicago from that crowd, where she got flustered and things kind of, not even kind of, I mean, things went off the rails at that point. It was weird watching this. This almost felt like an interview that she would be giving if she was being interviewed at a radio station. If she was doing one of these PR interviews, like people have been doing all week, and the host just asked her, "Hey, you know, what happened in that segment with Tiffany a few weeks ago?" Like, that's the kind of answer that she gave here. Like, they're trying to lean into the realness of it. We didn't get much here. That was literally the only snippet of this interview that they show, because apparently they're going to be showing the entire thing on one of the pre-shows this weekend. If they have enough time, of course, because, you know, the pre-show on Saturday and the pre-show on Sunday, they're only 3 hours each. I don't know if there's going to be enough time. 2 3-hour pre-show. You got 6 hours of pre-shows this weekend. You think they have enough time to air the entire interview? Hey, Rectangle Galaxy, you rule too. Thank you, Rectangle Galaxy. Anyway, the entire interview will be airing this weekend if you are interested enough to watch. Me personally, I have so much going on anyway. I am not going to be sitting here dedicating 3 hours each night to a pre-show, especially with no matches on them. But if you would like to do so, there it is. That's where you can find it. Now, speaking of women's championship matches, there is another women's championship match. This one on Sunday. I believe it's opening the show, WrestleMania Sunday. That is Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, and Bianca Belair. Rhea Ripley was out to the ring for a promo, and she talked about this being the most important match of her career. She allowed herself to get distracted by Bianca Belair, and she lost her title before WrestleMania. She said, "That's her fault. That's her bad. She could come out here and moan and complain about it, but that's in the past. Sunday, she gets back what she wants and does what she has to do." She is walking out of WrestleMania, she says, a 3-time women's world champion. Io Sky interrupted. "Here comes the champion. The champ is here." She makes her way out to the ring. "And do you believe this bullshit? The disrespect that this woman has been shown multiple times here in this build to WrestleMania continued tonight, because she did not even get a word out before Bianca Belair's music interrupted her." And so Bianca Belair comes down to the ring. Bianca was immediately booed as soon as she started. She got the Cody treatment, or maybe I should say Cody got the Bianca treatment, because with Bianca, it's been going on now since Europe. So she immediately gets booed as she begins speaking. She said tonight may actually be her last night on SmackDown for a while, because at WrestleMania, she's walking out as the champion. And after what the two of them put her through, she doesn't plan on letting it go anytime soon. Then Naomi's music interrupts. She says Bianca finally decided to show up on SmackDown. And she's not even going to talk to me? You're not even going to talk to me. She's filled up her voicemail box. She's been calling Bianca like crazy and texting her. And she knows she got it because it says delivered. Yes, but does it say read? Does she have read receipts on? See, that's the real question. Because if it says read and she didn't get back to you, I mean, that's fucked up. You know, if it's delivered, it's like, all right, she probably saw, but you really can't prove it. You know what I mean? She didn't specify. Anyway, she says, does their friendship mean so little to Bianca? She didn't even want to do this and have everybody in their business. She wanted to keep this private. But since she wants to ignore her, and then Bianca interrupted her and got booed again, and she said Naomi knows exactly why she's not responding. She says, I said what I said. So Naomi got into the ring and said, you care about Jade that much, huh? Jade wasn't there for Bianca like she was. Tomorrow, she's going to finish what she started with Jade. And after that, and then before she could say the next part, Jade's music hits. So Jade Cargill power walks her way down to the ring. Naomi slipped out of the ring and Bianca got in front of Jade, who was upset with Bianca for doing so. Rhea then said, Jade, this isn't about you. But before she could say anything else, Naomi slipped into the ring behind Jade and shoved her into Rhea. Rhea then got shoved into Bianca. Jade attacked Naomi. Bianca attacked Rhea. And the world champion is standing there with nothing to do. She is a complete afterthought. So she's standing there and she's looking at this brawl and she's looking at that brawl. And Io is just standing there. So she climbs to the top rope and she hits her over the moonsault to the floor, because at that point, Rhea's out there, Bianca's out there. A bunch of security geeks are out there trying to separate them. Io hits her moonsault, wipes everybody out, including the security. And everybody, except Jade and Naomi, they're already elsewhere. But the rest of them fall down. I'm loving this Naomi so far. I said this last week. I've given her a lot of praise for these little vignettes that they've done with her. She came out tonight. I'm loving this scorned friend that she is portraying on TV. I think that beating Jade tomorrow night and then costing Bianca the title on Sunday is the way to go. I think that's the play here. Now, you could have Jade beat Naomi, and still Naomi could do the same thing and come out on Sunday, cost Bianca the championship. It still works. I'm just of the mindset that Naomi just turned heel. She hasn't really had a major match yet. And in her first major match after her heel turn, and I feel the same way about John Cena. He's going into his first WrestleMania as a heel. He's going into his first WrestleMania, his first match as a heel since the turn at Elimination Chamber. And unless it's a very short-term thing with him, I feel the same way, where it just doesn't make sense to send them out there and have them lose in their first real big match as a heel. So I feel the same way for Naomi. It's not the kiss of death if she does lose, because I still think she would get involved in the match on Sunday. But I think that's the way to go. I just don't see Bianca winning the championship if for no other reason, because I don't see her moving to Raw. She has this story on SmackDown that is unfinished. She has unfinished business with Naomi and Jade. They're not going to move her to Monday Night Raw. It's a Raw title. So Naomi getting involved makes all the sense in the world. Now, Naomi's been trying to talk to her. I mean, this is the logic behind it, right? She came out tonight. I've been trying to talk to you. I've been texting you and calling you. You're not responding to me. And all of this stuff. And she says, you know, Bianca says, we're not doing this now. I'm not doing this. I'm not talking about this now. I'm not addressing this now. So what better way for Naomi to get her attention than to show up on Sunday during her match and get her attention that way? And it ends up costing her potentially winning the Women's World Championship. Now, there is another possibility here. They could go a totally different way with it and have Naomi come out to help Bianca. If she wants to show Bianca that I'm still trying to be your friend, instead of her coming out and being nasty about it and trying to cost her the match, she could come out, try to help. Maybe Bianca doesn't want her help. But Jade comes out. If Naomi's there, and it works even better if Naomi beats Jade on Saturday, Because if Naomi shows up on Sunday, here comes Jade. But then Jade getting involved, along with Naomi, all of this is what ends up costing Bianca. It distracts her, whatever. However you want to work it out. But the end result is the same, which is that she does not win the Women's World Championship. So that takes her out of that picture, plants her firmly back on SmackDown, and she is right in the middle of all of this drama because now these two women, they cost her the title. Now she has beef with Jade. Even though Jade didn't mean to come out and do that, if that works out that way, now Bianca has a reason to be upset with her. So that's another way they could go with it. But the end result of this, no matter what, is that Bianca Belair is not walking out on Sunday with the Women's World Championship. But listen to the reaction that Bianca got on the show tonight. Listen to the reaction that Bianca has got every single week going back to the European tour. You could argue, and some people did, that, oh, it's just the European crowds. They're trying to be, you know, contrarian or whatever their reasons were. They just don't like Bianca in this feud. They really love Rhea. They really love Io. And so Bianca's kind of the odd person out. But it was like, oh, that's a European thing. The European crowds just don't like her. Well, they've been back from Europe now for what? 2.5 weeks? Almost 3 weeks now. And she's been getting the same noticeable boos from the crowd every single city that she's in. If they're listening to these crowds, and if this becomes the norm, then maybe the way to go is to have Bianca go heel. Maybe the story is that she was the mastermind behind the entire plot. Could that be why some of the fans are booing her? Are there fans who believe that she will be revealed to be the real mastermind behind what happened to Jade all those many months ago? Is that part of what we're hearing with these reactions? But whether it is or it isn't, maybe in the end Bianca goes heel. And Bianca and Naomi end up on the same side, and Jade's the babyface, but those two are the heel. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm here for heel Bianca. I would love to see it. I don't know if that's what they want to do, but I would love to see heel Bianca. You saw a little bit of it tonight. You know, she had that attitude with the fans like, I'm not here to take your shit. These two are talking about me. I got a match coming up on Sunday. Yeah, basically like, screw y'all. Basically was kind of the attitude and the vibe I was getting tonight. Because she's not wrong. Like, she's done nothing wrong. That's the thing. Like, they're booing her, but she's done nothing wrong. But sometimes the fans react the way they react, and you have to just listen to it and go with the flow. And sometimes you got to pivot or change directions if it makes sense. I think the fans are ready to embrace a heel Bianca. I don't know if WWE and Triple H are ready to embrace a heel Bianca. If they are, I think it's great. I'm here for it. But there's a lot of different ways this could go, which I like. I like the fact that this could go 3 or 4 different ways, and we're not quite sure which way they're going to go. But if that's the direction, I'm totally fine with that. Now, Rey Fénix was shown in the back when Chad Gable and the Creeds walked up and made fun of him for losing the Battle Royal. Dragon Lee walked in and told Gable to shut up. Rey Mysterio showed up and told El Grande Gable that he's going to learn some real Lucha Libre at WrestleMania. And Mysterio then challenged Gable and the Creeds to a 6-man tag later in the show. Unfortunately, see, had this match not been made, that we wouldn't be sitting here talking about a possible injury right now. But unfortunately, I mean, look, that's the nature of the beast, man. It just sucks that it had to work out the way that it did later in the show, which, again, we will get to. Actually, you know what? Before I get to it, let me check real quick and see if there is any update. Nothing yet. I'll keep checking on Rey Mysterio. I'll let you know if I see anything. Let me take a quick break here to let you guys know that today's episode is sponsored by Factor. If you want to eat healthier and eat good, I don't just mean eat clean, but really enjoy your food, you can make this your best season yet with nutritious 2-minute meals from Factor, the meal delivery service that you have been waiting for. Eating well has never been this easy. Just heat up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, making them perfect for any active lifestyle. So with the spring weather, and summer will be here soon enough, get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. With 45 weekly menu options, you can choose gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, and premium dinners, not to mention guilt-free snacks and desserts, which is my favorite. I mean, who doesn't love dessert? It's easy to savor more this spring. Factor meals pack in the flavor without all the fuss. I got my new box earlier in the week. I like the Ropa Vieja chicken thigh bowl. If it has chicken, chances are I'm going to like it. But this was really good. There was a spicy sweet potatoes and peanut sauce meal with coconut rice and roasted green beans that was also very good. But my favorite, this was my dinner on Thursday, was the sesame teriyaki filet mignon. Oh my, friggin' amazing. And again, they only take minutes to make. It's not going to take you an hour before you even sit down to take your first bite. And that's good for me because I'm streaming on most nights. As you know, there's wrestling damn near every night of the week at this point. So I don't want to spend forever eating dinner before I have to work. This takes care of that for me. And it can take care of it for you too, with an exclusive offer for Sound Off listeners. Get started at factormeals.com/solomonster50off. And use the code SOLOMONSTER50OFF to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code SOLOMONSTER50OFF at factormeals.com/SOLOMONSTER50OFF for 50% off plus free shipping. We have the Street Profits defending the WWE Tag Team Championships against the Motor City Machine Guns. So this was not safe for WrestleMania. They announced they were doing this tonight. So they send these two teams out there. The Machine Guns, they jumpstart the match right away as the Profits were posing during their entrance. They come back after a break. Alex Shelley tags in Chris Sabin, who fires up. He takes out both Street Profits. Sabin missed the missile drop kick to Montez Ford. Shelley tagged him, and he worked a pair of double team moves, including a drop kick flatliner combo. Shelley goes to the top, and Angelo Dawkins breaks things up. Ford then hits a super kick on Sabin. And he landed the, he does that running dive where he jumps over the ring post. So he takes everybody out. DIY shows up at ringside. I think they came out of the crowd. And they interfere. And the referee calls for the bell. So we end up with a no contest here. Gargano and Ciampa then grab the tag team titles and they steal them. They make off with them all the way to the back. As far as the match, the action was fine. The finish sucked. Okay, the finish was really bad. Really bad. But we weren't done yet because in the back later, Nick Aldis tells DIY, give me the belts. And they don't want to give him up. And he's like, give the belts back. So they hand the belts over to him. Now the Street Profits come in. They're pissed off. The Machine Guns come in. They're pissed off. They're all yelling and screaming at each other. And Aldis is in between them. And Aldis makes the announcement that they're going to have a TLC match for the tag team titles with the Street Profits and the Machine Guns and DIY next week. And as soon as he said next week, like, you could hear the boos from inside the arena. These people were not happy. When he mentioned TLC, they kind of gave it a little bit of a pop there. But this match is taking place not at WrestleMania. Not even on the pre-show. And I know people would bitch that, oh, it's on the pre-show, but, you know, they would still be wrestling in front of, I mean, people still might be entering the building, but you'll have 50,000 plus each night in the building. You got 6 hours of pre-show material on Saturday and Sunday. They're doing the match next Friday on SmackDown. And I am absolutely baffled. I'm baffled by the decision to have the New Day and the War Raiders for the World Tag Team titles on the WrestleMania card and keep this match on television after WrestleMania. Simply because the WWE Tag Team titles on SmackDown, whatever you want to say about the division and the constant back and forth with the same teams, because it's been going on now for months, but you have this back and forth now for several months with the Street Profits and the Machine Guns and DIY and Pretty Deadly. Okay, who wasn't even involved in any of this. They were in the Battle Royal. But they had their shot on TV a few weeks ago in London, I think it was. But they've actually been investing time in this story involving these titles and these teams now for months on television. There's actual activity going on in the SmackDown Tag Team Division. What has been going on with the Raw Tag Team titles on Monday night? Nothing. It's a dead division. There's been nothing going on. They did a match with the New Day and the War Raiders on TV last week that went a few minutes and had a shitty DQ finish and was cold as fuck because nobody cares, because they've cooled off the New Day. I mean, look, I love the New Day. I love heel New Day, but they fucked up. They dropped the ball with these guys. These guys had nuclear heat. They can melt an entire fucking city with the heat that these guys had after the heel turn in November or December, rather, and they fucked it up. Triple H fucked it all up. So now they feel like just another team, and they're getting a tag team title match at WrestleMania. Okay, great. And I'm sure it'll be a good match. But you're sending a match cold into WrestleMania for those titles, but these guys don't get a spot on a TLC match, no less. And this is on SmackDown. I don't understand that. Maybe the finish of the world title match between the New Day and the War Raiders, when we see it, will make sense. And then in the big picture, this will all make sense. But as I sit here right now, and that match is on the WrestleMania card and this one isn't, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Either have both, one on one night, one on the other, or if you could only have one, this would be the one that would have made sense. So I don't understand that decision at all. And I don't understand also the way they've cooled off the New Day. I really don't. And I don't want to hear people defending it either. There is no defense for it. They had a hot act on that show. And they fucked it up. Randy Orton. He was out to the ring next. Still has no opponent for WrestleMania. He reminded everyone of this fact when he came out. Orton said that he's been around town all week long. And he said that there is an excitement about WrestleMania like never before. That's a lie. Orton referenced his father being in the first WrestleMania. He said there's no way in hell that he would sit out this year's show, noting how this would be the 20th time that he would be competing at WrestleMania. Orton said he will show up on Sunday, boots tied, baby oil on his skin, and he will be ready to deliver for the WWE Universe. He said he will do it for the fans, he will do it for himself, and he will do it for the boys in the back. And speaking of the boys in the back, he said if everyone or anyone, I should say, wants to test their mettle, he dares them to step up. He looked out into the crowd and said if there's anybody on the strip who owns a pair of wrestling boots who wants to step up, go ahead and do so. He said whoever it is will fall victim to the three most dangerous letters in all of pro wrestling, RKO. Good fire from Orton here, who made it a point to mention that it will be Sunday. His match will be Sunday, which I figured it would be because we have seven matches tomorrow. We only have six on Sunday. So, of course, you want to have an even 7-7, 14 matches total. So whatever his match ends up being, that's going to be on WrestleMania night two. They're doing the open challenge gimmick, which honestly, at this point, I mean, we're 24 hours out from this show this weekend, 48 hours from what would be his match. You may as well just wait. I mean, seriously, you may as well just wait. It's like the Seth Rollins thing a few years ago with Cody Rhodes. He had no opponent. Now, that wasn't an open challenge. Vince McMahon had already had a handpicked opponent for him. He just wasn't willing to tell Seth who that was going to be until WrestleMania. But it's the same basic concept here. And so as long as you have a name that you know is going to get a reaction, whoever that is, probably somebody who's debuting or returning to the company, you may as well just wait and make it a surprise and make it some big, you know, mystery man announcement and just wait for the show. But it's got to be someone good. It's got to be somebody good or somebody who's coming back and making a return to the company. Otherwise, if let's say Sheamus walks out there, or pick anybody else who doesn't have a match at WrestleMania and could reasonably be viewed as an opponent for Randy Orton, you look at someone like that, it's like, yeah, I'm sure the two of them could go out there and have a kick-ass match, but like, you may as well just announce it, you know? Why even bother waiting and keeping it a mystery? Unless there's a reason, you know, that you're doing that. It's not going to be Nick Aldis. If it was going to be Nick Aldis, then they would have announced it already. It's not going to be Nick Aldis. There were no hints at all on this show tonight that that would be the direction. Solo Sikoa was heavily teased last week. Did not at all get the vibe that it's going to be him, thankfully, because that's not the WrestleMania match I want to see. So it's not going to be Solo Sikoa. I'm thinking it's going to be Rusev. We know Rusev is back. How do we know this? Big E, the other day, just whether he let it slip by accident or he knew what he was doing, the other day, he said, yeah, he's back. He announced it himself. And we already knew this, but like that was the first time somebody publicly came out and actually said it. But yes, he was spotted anyway at WWE headquarters last week. He was taking part in a photo shoot, for those of you who don't know. So Rusev, Miro, whatever you want to call him, he is back in WWE. It is just a matter of when does he return? When do we actually see him? Kevin Owens went down with this terrible injury. It sucks. And I feel bad for him, right? Never a good time to get hurt with a major neck injury, no less. But to miss what I know for him was going to be this huge WrestleMania match against Randy Orton, it's a shitty situation. Okay, well, we need a plan B. Whoever the plan B is, it's not going to be some long-term story. Randy Orton sat out for 4 months selling a neck injury to come back and have this payoff with Kevin Owens, and now we're not getting it. There was months of story there, all thrown away. Nobody's fault, but it's gone. So whoever ends up in this match, there ain't going to be a story. This is no longer about story. This is about what makes sense and who makes sense in this spot. And if it's me, I don't want someone like Aleister Black, who we also know is coming back. I don't want someone like Aleister Black out there in his return match to go out there and lose in his first match back. Same thing with Rusev. People might say, well, you want him to lose? No, I don't want him to lose either. But honestly, he's going to end up, I don't know if ultimately he'll be a face or a heel. My guess would be he'll be a heel. Can't be sure, right? Rusev Day was very popular. Maybe he'll be a babyface. But whatever he ends up being, he's not going to be a main event level guy. Not out of the gate. So if he goes in there and he loses in a competitive match to Randy Orton, I don't see that as being as big of a deal as someone like Aleister Black going out there, who I think absolutely could be a top guy on SmackDown, and him losing to Randy Orton. That, I think, is completely counterproductive. In WWE right now, by the way, I should point out, they've had a lot of guys come in. Rey Fénix has come in. Penta has come in. Ricky Starks is in NXT. Aleister Black is coming back. Miro is coming back. It's like you have, it's like this whole group. You could create a whole faction out of just these people that are coming in from AEW to WWE. It's okay to take one of them. And if they go in there and lose a WrestleMania match to Randy Orton, believe me, they're not buried. It's not the end of their career. It's not the end of the fucking world. I'd much rather have him in this situation than throw an Aleister Black out there. And by the way, they aired another vignette tonight that with the smoky, they should have thrown the smoky, background and everything. And this time we got a date. It says April 25th. So now we know. Aleister Black will be back on SmackDown next Friday. So it's not going to be him. So who else is it going to be? People throwing out names like fucking Goldberg. Dude, Kevin Owens got hurt. Whoever it's going to be, they had to come up with a plan B on like 2 weeks' notice. Goldberg, he just had, I think he went to Columbia to have stem cell injections. His shoulder's all fucked up. He just started a training camp. He's 50,000 years old. It's not going to be Goldberg, okay? Goldberg will not be at WrestleMania in a match. So it's not going to be him. People throwing out other names I see, even in the chat here, Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is not going to be at WrestleMania. What sense would that make for Sami Zayn to wrestle Randy Orton, of all people, at WrestleMania? Sami Zayn is not at WrestleMania. And some of the other names people have thrown out have also just made me shake my head. Rusev is the one to me who makes sense, who I could actually see being in this spot. We want somebody out there that'll get a reaction. People will be happy to see him back. He's been missing for all these years. And he can go in there and lose, and it's not the end of the world. Because Randy Orton should not be losing at WrestleMania. He's going to have a big match at Backlash next month. Why would he go in there at WrestleMania and lose? I think it's going to be Rusev. I think it's going to be Rusev Day on Sunday at WrestleMania. That's what I think. But you got to go with somebody the audience knows. Jeff Cobb, thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that. Nobody in WWE land is going to know who Jeff Cobb is. The smart fans will know. And you do have smart fans who come in for WrestleMania. So I shouldn't say he would get crickets. But the WWE audience, by and large, they don't know who he is. Him coming out there in that spot, I don't see that getting such a major reaction that you're going to get a return on that payoff, right? it's very important when you do a gimmick like this, the Mystery Man Open Challenge gimmick, there has to be some familiarity with the person. I don't think their audience is going to be all that familiar with who he is. He's never been in WWE before. Rusev, they know. He'll get a reaction when he comes. Maybe he'll ride a fucking tank to the ring. But Jeff Cobb is wrestling his final match, actually, in about 2 hours, 3 hours, against Hiroshi Tanahashi. He could technically make it in time for the show on Sunday. So it could be him. Do I think it's going to be him? No. And I honestly don't think that would be a great spot for him to go in. And he's another one where him going in there and losing, I don't want to see him lose. I'd rather see Rusev go in there and lose, and he can take that loss. Jeff Cobb would be brand new. A lot of people wouldn't know who he is. I don't think sending someone like him in there and losing is a great idea. So I'm going to say no on that. Joe Hendry. Well, I mean, look, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion getting a WrestleMania match against Randy Orton would be a pretty big fucking deal, especially for him. I can't rule it out. It's possible. I'm still going to say Rusev, though. Daddy Ugarte says, Joe Hendry is champion and can't lose. Joe Hendry is champion and can't lose, he says. So you think. Dude, supposedly they wanted him to come in to work a program with The Miz. Give me a break. Come on. He can't lose. You don't think WWE would hesitate to bring him in and have him lose? You don't know who you're dealing with here. You think they give a shit? They don't give a shit. Be careful what you wish for. Isn't he injured? I thought that was a storyline injury in TNA for him. Anyway, let's move on. Footage aired. There was a brawl earlier today at the WrestleMania kickoff with Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest, who were having a Sin City street fight this weekend. So Byron Saxton interviewed Priest in the back, and Priest cut Saxton off. He said, look, he wants to send a message to McIntyre. He said, McIntyre isn't a victim, not yet. Priest said Drew isn't ready for their fight this weekend. He's going to beat Drew so bad he'll wish he was future endeavored again. Oh, man. Yeah, there was no Drew McIntyre on this show. This was the only promo we got from either one of them. After last week's botched countout finish, they ran back the match between Chelsea Green and Zelina Vega. This was not for the United States Championship. The action spilled outside. Green sent Vega into the barricade, and then she scolded Charles Robinson for counting her out the last time, even though Charles Robinson was not the referee for that match. That was Ryan Tran. Green ran at Vega. Vega backdropped her over the barricade into the timekeeper's area. So they nearly missed the 10 count again. They were playing off what happened last week. They rolled into the ring at the same time to break the count. Vega set up for a 619. Vega, though, ran into a kick instead. And Chelsea placed Vega on the top rope. Vega fought back, turned it into a super code red from the top rope, and she pinned the champion. Of course, it was non-title. But that should now earn her a shot at the United States Championship. You know, at least Lyra Valkyria found her way onto the WrestleMania card. She's not defending her Intercontinental title, but she is on the WrestleMania card. We cannot say the same for Chelsea Green. The best that Chelsea Green could hope for at this point is a skit on the show. But right now, she is not scheduled for WrestleMania at all. But the other United States champion is, that would be LA Knight. He had a match on this show against Solo Sikoa, but first he had a promo. And he said that Jacob Fatu, Solo Sikoa, and Tama Tonga, they like to use the numbers advantage, which is why he took out Tama Tonga at the beginning of the show. And he's going to take out Solo so that when he gets in the ring with Jacob, it'll be one-on-one, no distractions, no interference. It'll be a fair fight. He said he knows that Fatu is a force, but Fatu has never seen anything like him. And he said someday, somewhere, Fatu will be a champion in WWE. But at WrestleMania, Fatu will eat a BFT. I almost said BLT. He might eat a BLT and a BFT in that match. courtesy of the Megastar. That would be kind of funny, actually. If Jacob Fatu, his very first WrestleMania, he just comes to the ring and just, he has like a wrapped sandwich and just starts eating a BLT in the middle of the ring. I think he would still get cheered. The people would still cheer for him. They like this guy. Who they don't like is Solo Sikoa. He came out. Knight didn't even wait for him to get to the ring. He left the ring. He met him in the aisleway. And the fight was on. So they wrestled for a little bit. They went to commercial. The show came back. Solo was working over Knight on the outside. Knight came back with a DDT. He went to the second rope when all of a sudden Jacob Fatu shows up out of nowhere and he trips him up on the second rope. And the referee calls for the disqualification. Braun Strowman's music hits. He's not going to stand for this. He lumbers on down to the ring, takes out both Sikoa and Fatu with a running crossbody. Knight and Strowman clear the ring, and then Nick Aldis walks out. And gee, I wonder why he's here. And Nick Aldis says, why don't we have a tag team match? It'll be LA Knight and Braun Strowman against Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. Lazy shit. So the match started during a picture-in-picture break. Fatu was working over Strowman as the show came back. We did, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. We did, in fact, during this match, get the Strowman Express. Yes, we got the Strowman Express. Mowed down Solo Sikoa on one side of the ring. Mowed down Fatu on the other. And bless that man, he took this great bump into the steel steps. Then later on, Strowman disposed of Fatu. He went for another train ride, but this time Fatu sidestepped him, and he sent Strowman flying over the announce desk. LA Knight connected with a diving basement dropkick that sent Fatu on top of the announce desk. He was laying there on his belly on the desk. Knight gets back into the ring. Solo missed a Samoan spike attempt, but he ate a BFT, not a BLT. And he covered Solo for the 1-2-3. Yeah, I think we could safely forget about Solo Sikoa being a Randy Orton opponent at WrestleMania. I feel pretty content and confident, I should say, in saying that it will not be Solo Sikoa wrestling Randy Orton at WrestleMania. As far as the match, look, it was a way to get these guys on the show to tell the story about LA Knight trying to take out each member of the Bloodline so that he can get a fair fight with Jacob Fatu at WrestleMania. But honestly, what this felt like, it just felt like time filler more than anything else, which honestly is what this was. I mean, they were trying to fill time, but that's really what it felt like. Then we were treated to footage of Wade Barrett's sit-down interview with Tiffany Stratton. This was earlier today, so we got a snippet of his interview from earlier in the week with Charlotte Flair, the challenger. Now he was sitting down with the champion. And he asked her about the awkward in-ring segment between the two of them in Chicago a few weeks ago, which he said went off the rails. I said it went off the rails that night. But he said it went off the rails. I wanted to do some rails when that match was over. So Tiffany said over the last few weeks, she felt bullied and taken advantage of. So they made a choice here to have the WWE Women's Champion in this interview talk about how she was bullied by the challenger. She was referring to the split-screen interview several weeks ago where she really did not have a good night. And so here she's talking about how she was bullied and taken advantage of. She had a moment during that split-screen of insane discouragement that made her feel like she wasn't cut out for this, but she used it as motivation. And she did her research to make sure that the next time she would come prepared. And so when they had their face-to-face in the middle of the ring, she came at Charlotte with a kill shot. And she played Charlotte at her own game. She gave her a taste of her own medicine. Charlotte doesn't have to like her, but she damn sure has to respect her now. Wade says, this feels like a must-win match for both these women. But what happens if Tiffy time ends at WrestleMania? And she said, that's not going to happen. She knows it's going to be a fight. She's going to channel that discouragement that she felt and turn it into motivation. She's standing up to a bully. She's walking in as the champion, and she is walking out of WrestleMania as the champion. Neither of these sit-downs, and again, I haven't seen the full thing yet. I'm just going by the clips that they showed here. Neither of these sit-downs did anything for me, anyway, to get more excited for this match at WrestleMania. I just want them to go out there and have a great match. That's it. All this awkward stuff and, you know, Charlotte's bullying me. It's just, I don't know. You got the champion going out there, the defending champion going into WrestleMania. You know, and I know they're portraying her as the rookie, and she is. She is. I mean, Charlotte's been doing this now for over a decade. For Tiffany, this is her first big match. Did she even have a match at WrestleMania last year? I don't know if she did. This might be her first WrestleMania match. And she's going in as the champion, and she's only 25 years old. All of this is true. But it's just weird, you know, her sitting there going, oh, I was bullied. I was bullied, and I was taken advantage of. It's just, it's a weird tact to take for this title match. I don't know that it really works for me. It might work for some people. I just don't care about a lot of the stuff they've done with these two so far. I think, if anything, it's actually made me less interested in seeing the match. But I'm hopeful the match itself will end up being, hopefully, a very good match. That's all I can hope for at this point. I just want them to go out there. I want them to not only have a very good match, but I want Tiffany Stratton to come out of this looking like someone who belongs. I want her to come out of this looking better than she did going into it, because she is someone who is still very new to this, especially on the main roster. And somebody who, I'm sure they look at her the same way, who is going to be in the position that Charlotte Flair is in 10 years from now. You know, that's where they want her to be. She needs to go out there and have a great showing at WrestleMania, even if she loses. So that's all I'm hoping for. Despite all the awkwardness and all the drama and everything we've had, and how much of it is a shoot and how much of it is a work, I don't give a shit. At this point, I just want them to go out there and have a kick-ass match. That's it.
Have the best moveset.
Hey, King Nader. Thank you again. You're awesome. Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, and Rey Fénix. So Rey Fénix pulling double duty tonight because he was in the Battle Royal as well, taking on Chad Gable and the Creed Brothers. I guess they're all playing double duty tonight, except Rey Mysterio, because everybody in this match was also in the Battle Royal. But we had a six-man tag team match, and this is where things went awry. So Mysterio gets in the ring with Gable, and Gable bails outside. Rey goes after him. He's chasing him around the ring. And, you know, it's not like I went back and I watched this to see, did he get hurt when he was running after him? And he wasn't really running that hard. He chased him around like one side of the ring. And Rey looked fine, and he went to go slide into the ring, and Julius Creed grabs him by the leg, and he drags him out to the floor. And Rey takes a bump, and he lands a little hard on the floor, but honestly, it didn't look like anything out of the ordinary. And I'm watching his knee, and I'm watching his leg, and when he lands, you could tell that he looks like he may have gotten hurt, but I can't really tell how, or like what did he hurt? Did he hurt his groin? Did he hurt his leg? It wasn't really apparent to me. What I do know is that we didn't see him again for the rest of the match. He never got up again after that. Or he did, but he ended up on a different side of the ring, but he was down on the floor. And the trainer was with him the entire time. So as the match goes on, we don't see Rey Mysterio again. It's basically a handicap match at that point. So when they came back from a break, Dragon Lee was taking punishment from the heels. Lee was perched up top. All three heels, though, ended up hanging by their legs. So all three of them are basically in a tree of woe in the corner, and Dragon Lee comes off with a double stomp on all three of them. Fénix got the hot tag. He had a spinning kick on Julius. Things broke down. Fénix took out all of American Made. So Rey Fénix goes up top, and he walks the top rope, kicks Gable in the head with his goodbye amigo kick. Lee landed the Destino, which he calls Operation Dragon, on Julius. Fénix followed that with a Meteora from the top rope for the win. The Meteora, it gets spammed so many times these days that it was weird to see it used as a finish. Like, I'm fine with it. I don't want to see Fénix out there doing all kinds of crazy shit and killing himself, but it's just weird. You know, when you have a move like that that's never used as a finish, And then it was like, oh, okay. I don't know. Now, look, Rey Mysterio clearly was supposed to be a part of this match. He may have been a part of the finish. That may have been the plan. He couldn't get back into the match. For all we know, this was all called on the fly. And this was not going to be the original or the way the original finish went down. We don't know. But it was weird seeing that, you know, used for the finish. Now, as soon as the match was over, Phoenix and Dragon Lee, they get out of the ring. And they go outside to go check on Rey Mysterio. And that's when I noticed, oh, shit. I didn't even notice the trainer was out there at first. I'm like, have they been out there the entire time? And then I went back and watched. And you know, sure enough, he was laying out there the entire time, which is not good. I saw the video. He was carried to the back. He could not put any weight on his left leg. I don't know if it's the ankle. I don't know if it's the knee. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but obviously he was in a lot of pain and not able to put weight on that leg. And it would be a real kick in the balls if it's serious enough. And look, it doesn't even have to be a super serious injury. Like, the match is less than 24 hours away, right? Because I'm pretty sure they're wrestling on night one. So it could be something kind of minor, but still serious enough that he's not going to be able to wrestle on 24 hours notice. So there's a very real possibility that Rey Mysterio could be out of WrestleMania. And so what do you do then? You know, what do you do with Chad Gable? Well, I'm sorry, El Grande Americano. What do you do with Americano? You still have him on the show. You've got Dragon Lee right there. Like, Dragon Lee would honestly make the most sense. Or you could put Rey Fénix in that spot. I would like to see Fénix get a WrestleMania match. I think that would be cool. You know, Penta and Fénix each get their own WrestleMania matches in their first year. Because right now, Fénix is not scheduled for the show. So it's not the end of the world if Mysterio goes down, because you could do that. You could do Fénix or Dragon Lee against El Grande Americano. So I'm sure he'll still wrestle and be on the show. But hopefully that won't be necessary. It would be nice to find out that Rey's going to be okay and he'll be on the show. But just based on what we saw tonight, it's not looking too good. Now, they aired a very cool video package for the Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins triple threat match tomorrow night. It was set to Sail Into the Black by Machine Head. And this was awesome. I saw this earlier today, but they aired it on the show tonight. This video package was awesome. And I love the rock music. We need more of this. We need more rock music in these video packages. So this was very well done. And then we got the final face-to-face to close the show. The final hard sell for the Night 2 main event between Cody Rhodes and John Cena. Cody came out to the ring first, and he got a fine reaction. It wasn't until he had the microphone in his hand and went to go speak that he got booed. And to the point where he had to stop and sort of take it all in. And then he went to go speak again, and they booed him again before he could say a word. He was interrupted by John Cena's music. And John Cena makes his way out, gets in the ring. He tells Cody, "Shut your mouth, kid." This is going to be Cena's 20th WrestleMania, he says. His 12th title match at WrestleMania. He knows you can get lost in all the noise with all these voices. There's one voice Cody should listen to, and that's the man looking at him right now in the eye. Sunday is the last time that he will ever compete in a WrestleMania ring. No one has ever had the courage to end their career the way that he has. And there is nothing he can do to prepare to face a man who knows that he is going to die. What he's doing is so unprecedented. The fans don't think it's real. They think he's going to come back because that's what they all do, right? There's no such thing as a wrestling retirement. No wrestler ever truly retires. He says the reason for that is because every other wrestler is a scared, insecure loser. I don't know if he was referring to Ric Flair when he said that, but said they need these people to care about them, to post about them, to talk about them, because the second they're away from this, they're alone. He, on the other hand, has love, joy, and worth in his life. He doesn't need a single damn one of these people. The only reason he's here is to take the title away from Cody and the fans forever. Don't say I didn't warn you, because He did, he says. Last year, everyone was celebrating with Cody at the end of WrestleMania, but when Cena had his moment alone with Cody, he told him, every day you hold that, it gets heavier. He said, Sunday, it finally becomes too heavy for Cody to hold. He will lose because he cares about them. You people do not write history. Winners do. There it is. You people. He did it again. He did it again. You people. I love it. He says he came out here tonight to share one more thing with Cody before Sunday. When he won that Elimination Chamber, he knew that it would be impossible to beat Cody in a match at WrestleMania. Now, he didn't explain why he felt this way. I assume it would, if you remember when he first came back, the promo on the first Netflix Raw, he did address something that I had been talking about for a long time, which is his horrendous win-loss record on television, at least in singles matches. He has not won a singles match in something like 7 or 8 years. And he did address that and was kind of joking about it at the beginning of the year when he announced that he was going to be in the Royal Rumble. And then he lost that too. So I assume that's what he was getting at here, but he didn't really expand on that. Like, why does he think he couldn't beat Cody? But that's what he said. He goes, he thought it would be impossible to beat Cody at WrestleMania. And then Cody changed all of that with what he said to The Rock. The Rock gave him a choice. Do you want to do what's right or do you want to win? And when Cody made his choice, Cena realized Cody doesn't stand a chance. And that night, all that was left for him to do was the one thing that Cody couldn't, prove to the fans that they don't matter. When you stop caring about them, you can accomplish anything in life. But Cody is too weak to understand that. He says Sunday, to beat him, to beat Cena, Cody has to choose. Does he do what they think is right? Or does he win? Does he want to win? Cody is scared, insecure, and naive. You wear this suit, you have your tattoo because you want to be somebody. Because you didn't need the tattoo because Sunday, he's going to make him somebody. Cody will realize that he is not the captain or the quarterback. He's still just a kid in a man's world who doesn't have the balls of the last real champion. And then it was Cody's chance to speak. And before we even get into that, let me just say, I thought this was delivered well, and Cody, he stood there and listened to everything Cena had to say, and Cena had some good lines in there. I like one of the first lines in there about how he's facing a man who's not afraid to die. Yeah, because he's already announced that he's done. It's not like he's putting his career on the line. It's not a career-ending match. Like, he already made his peace with it. He's made the announcement, this is my final WrestleMania match. This is my last ride. I'm done. At the end of this year, I've got nothing to lose, right? That was basically what he was saying. And I thought that line went pretty hard. So again, this was good stuff from Cena, not radically different from what we've heard from him in the past. He did fall back a lot here on ragging on the fans. This feud has not really been between Cody and Cena. This has been John Cena against the fans. That's basically what this has been built on. And Cody is a vessel of the fans. He relies on the fans. He likes the fans. Everything he does is for the fans. And so ultimately that will be his downfall. That's the story of this match. It's really John Cena against you and me at WrestleMania. I'll be waiting for my WrestleMania payday, by the way. So they really leaned into that in this promo. But then it was Cody's turn to speak. And the fans started booing again. And Cena said, "This is who you fight for?" And Cody said, Cena said that he doesn't, or remember when Cody made the comment about him burying talent, and Cena's response was, "I don't bury talent, I am talent." So he made reference to that line again here. He said, well, he knows a graveyard of talent that would disagree with that, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about WrestleMania. He asked Cena if he knows the name of the guy who handed him the mic. Do you know who that guy is? He goes, "I'll bet you don't." Or maybe that woman over there, or that camera guy, or this person, or that person. He says, "Since the GOAT hasn't shown up since the Elimination Chamber, let me offer you some perspective." And he calls Cody underwhelming, he says, right? "You call me underwhelming. Well, Cena is overrated, overbearing, out of touch, out of time, with a face like melting wax and a stack of dimes for a neck. I wonder where he got that line from. And he's paler than Sting at Starrcade 97. That was great. If you know, you know. If you know the story, then you get the reference. If you don't, then you won't. And Cena's sanctimonious comments about how he's an errand boy, when the whole world watched him saunter out onto the Oscar stage, butt-ass naked for the people he runs errands for now. And by God, John, it's 2025, and you still can't wrestle. He won the crowd over with those comments. Whoever you thought won the promo, what he was able to do was turn the crowd back in his favor. Because as he was really getting fired up and getting into these comments and the Sting line, and like by the end of this, they were cheering for Cody. He had won them back. So Cena called them all idiots. They're just like Cody. They don't know what they want. And to beat Cody, he says he doesn't have to wrestle. And then this is the part where it looked like he gave him a karate chop. It may have been a thumb to the eye. Just the way they shot it, you couldn't tell because it was from the other, like the other side of Cody's head. I thought maybe he kind of bopped him in the fucking ear, and they were selling the fact that, you know, he had the busted eardrum after the Elimination Chamber. It may have been a thumb to the eye. It legitimately looked like he gave him a fucking karate chop. Okay, he looked like Daniel out there. Daniel, you know, I guess, how old is Ralph Macchio now? He might be the same age as Cena, for all I know. But that's what he looked like. Give him a fucking karate chop, and Cody sold it. And then he got him on his shoulders for an attitude adjustment. Cody slips out, and he ends up giving him the crossroads. And so yet again, the second time now, in the last few weeks, well, I guess it would have been, the 31st, right? March 31st was the last time we saw Cena. And he got laid out at the end of that segment, too, with an AA. So here he is yet again looking up at the lights. And the show goes off the air. Cody goes back down the aisle, posing with his title. That is how the final SmackDown, the final show before WrestleMania, went off the air. I love the little Hall & Oates reference. Out of touch, out of time. Thumbs up on that. The Sting being pale. I mean, that's just a classic, just nonsensical Eric Bischoff story about him and Hogan and why they felt like Sting did not deserve to win the world championship at Starrcade 97. He was very pale when he showed up that day. He was not in the best shape. Yes, because when I watched Starrcade 97, I could remember Sting walking out there thinking, my God, he's in horrible shape. He looks terrible. He looks like he just had a fucking 5-day bender. Oh, and he's pale. So let's keep the title on Hogan, who's orange. I don't see how, when this show is over, you are left with any other impression than John Cena is going to win number 17 on Sunday. John Cena turned heel at Elimination Chamber. It was the biggest thing in wrestling. It's all anybody was talking about. Everybody was excited. It was well done. It got people buzzing. And then he was gone for 2 weeks. We didn't see him. We didn't see him. We didn't see The Rock. Then we saw Cena 3 weeks in a row. He didn't have a whole lot to say those first 2 weeks about Cody. In fact, he didn't say anything about Cody. We got that one great segment in London between them. That was actually great. And then again, nothing for 2 weeks. And then we got what we got tonight, which was fine as sort of the closing salvo between these two. But the John Cena heel turn or heel run so far has been underwhelming. And I don't know how long it's going to go. I don't know if it's done after WrestleMania. I don't know if they're going to take it all the way to SummerSlam. I don't know if they're going to take it to the end of the year. I don't know. Obviously, he'll turn back before the end of the year. But what I was hoping to finally see from a heel John Cena, just selfishly as a fan, because we haven't seen John Cena as a heel in over 2 decades. What I was hoping we might be able to get out of this, we haven't got. And it's been very underwhelming. It's been very underwhelming, very disappointing. There are times where it even feels forced. And I'm hoping that whatever they have planned for WrestleMania, maybe it'll breathe new life into it. Because for me, I can't sit here and tell you, oh my God, it's been great. No, it could have been. It could have been, but it hasn't been. That's just the reality of it. It hasn't been. Now the match is here, and that's all that matters. What do they do at WrestleMania? If John Cena is going to continue to be a heel, which he should, he needs to win the WWE title at WrestleMania. He needs to be the one to go into St. Louis next month at Backlash and defend that championship against Randy Orton. So we get a Randy Orton-John Cena match one last time. Roles are reversed this time. Cena's the heel. Orton's the face. What an atmosphere it'll be in St. Louis. That'll be a huge match. Cena and CM Punk, same thing. It works so much better if Cena is the heel and Punk is the babyface, especially after the comments that Punk made about him after the Chamber. You can't turn him back before you do that match. You can't. It's booking malpractice if you do that. But Cena, I feel like he has to win this championship. And then you get these big title matches against all these people. If he doesn't win and he stays a heel, we're going to get those matches anyway. And every single time John Cena goes out there to wrestle a CM Punk or a Randy Orton or an AJ Styles or anybody else that he might wrestle, it will completely overshadow everything else on the show. It will be the biggest thing on the show. And if Cody is the WWE champion, the WWE championship is now number two on the show. That's another reason why, to me, it makes sense to put the belt on Cena. Even if just for a few months, put the belt on Cena. That is the right outcome this Sunday. Everything they've done so far, laying him out twice, it all points to that. What involvement, if any, will The Rock have in this? I don't know. We haven't seen The Rock since Toronto. I cannot imagine he won't be there. Him and Travis Scott will probably be there. What involvement, if any, in the match will they have? Is there a third man? Is the main event on night one, the finish of that match, going to tie into the main event of night two? I don't know. Is there going to be another person revealed as being part of their little clique? But if Cody goes in there and he retains the championship, where does Cena go from here? That's my question. What's next for him? Where does that story go with him as a heel? There are some people who said they would like to see a double turn. People were talking about a double turn in the chat before. I mean, the guy just turned heel. You gotta turn him back? But this is going to be very interesting to see whether Rock is involved and who shows their face during that main event. And also, what kind of match is it going to be? The last few matches John Cena has had have not been good. The match with Austin Theory was no good. The match with Solo Sikoa, where Solo gave him like 16 Samoan spikes, was not good. There's no tag team situation here. It's not an Elimination Chamber. It's not a Royal Rumble. Cena's in a one-on-one match, and it's a WrestleMania main event match. He's going to be out there for a good 15, 20, 25 minutes. What kind of match is John Cena going to have? 47 years old. It's been a while since Cena's gone out there and had a real kick-ass quality singles match. That's another thing I'm curious to see. What does he look like in the ring with Cody? What kind of match does Cody have with Cena? This is not the John Cena of 10 years ago or 15 years ago. The last time these two had a match together, it was, I believe, it would have been their Elimination Chamber qualifying match. That was in 2010. They had a Raw match. That's 15 years ago. Cody's in a very different place now. John Cena is in a very different place now. What kind of WrestleMania main event are these two going to have? We'll find out Sunday. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown before Mania? 57.7% thumbs up, 27.8% thumbs in the middle, and 14.5% thumbs down for the go-home show. 1,300-plus votes in. You can vote at Solomonster on X. JP says, Cena better not phone it in. I hope not. This is go time, baby. It's the WrestleMania main event. Ain't no bigger match. Other than, I guess, his retirement match when we get to the end of the year. But they made the choice for him to be in this WrestleMania main event. Now you got to go out there and have a big WrestleMania main event caliber match. And he hasn't had one of those in many years. So what that looks like, I don't know. But I hope it looks a lot better than the match he had with fucking Theory a couple years ago. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've never tried therapy before, it can feel like a big investment, especially with the state of things this week in the markets. All the volatility and the uncertainty out there, it's enough to cause you stress all on its own. But health is wealth, and it's important to take care of your mental health as well as your physical health. Traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session, and that can be real costly really quick. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save on average up to 50% per session. That's huge, especially when people now more than ever may be looking to save wherever they can. With BetterHelp, you pay a flat fee for weekly sessions, saving you big on cost and time. Therapy should feel accessible, not like a luxury that only VIPs can afford. With online therapy, you get quality care at a price that makes sense. Your mental health is worth it, trust me. And now it's within reach. Like I said, there's a lot going on in the world right now that may be causing you stress and giving you anxiety. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's something in your personal life. Whatever it is, therapy can help you figure out what the problem is and get to the root of it so that you can start addressing it. How to recognize it, how to cope with it, work around it, or even maybe eliminate it entirely. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it's convenient, too. That's what makes it so appealing, especially if you've been on the fence about trying it. You think those 5 million people don't have busy lives like you do? They find a way to make it work, and you can, too, because BetterHelp makes it easy for you with the click of a button. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time if you choose to do so. The choice is yours. Your well-being is worth it. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Hey, Holiday 197, starting us off from earlier. And thank you, by the way, to the 1,800 plus that have joined for the stream tonight. If we're doing that for the SmackDown before Mania, what are we going to do at Mania? What are we going to do tomorrow night? What are we going to do Sunday night? I'm expecting big numbers for the WrestleMania reviews. Holiday says, hey, Solo, I hope WrestleMania is a great pay-per-view and that you enjoy the show. You as well. I saw the WrestleMania 41 stage reveal, and it's an amazing setup, likely within the top three best WrestleMania stages with 33 and 39. WrestleMania is even better to watch with food and snacks. Yes. I have to have food when I watch these shows. Always got to have a good snack handy. I saw the stage reveal. It looks great. It's up there. It's not the best stage they've ever done, but it's in that realm. We'll see what it looks like tomorrow night once the stadium is filled in. Lakers, Pats, Russo swerve. Jimmy turns and costs Jay the World Heavyweight Championship. That would be fucking terrible. We had Jimmy and Jay last year, and I have no interest in seeing it again after that. Did you not learn your lesson after last year? Why would you want to see that again? Chris O'Neill, Rusev will return Sunday, and Bianca will turn heel, helping Naomi. Bianca may turn heel, but she ain't helping Naomi. Not this weekend. Brother Fluff Salisbury, well, thanks to Howard Finkel and you, I've been hearing pizza pizza in my head for the past few days. You're welcome. Pizza is another great snack. Some people might want to have pizza during WrestleMania. I will not be one of those people. Randy Bobandi with the $20 super chat. Random question. Did you ever see the shoot with Punk and Joe about 20 years ago where Homicide almost peed on Punk, or where they were ribbed to go to a club on Crossdresser night? No, this is the first I'm hearing of it. I do remember in one of their shoots, and I think it was a Ring of Honor shoot that they did, they were talking about a fan, I think a female fan, who used to drive them around and kind of do stuff for them, and how they treated her like shit. And I just thought, man, it really made them come across not well at all. I remember that, but the one you're talking about, no, I don't remember seeing that. Herb Abrams, oh my god, he is back from the dead. Herb Abrams is with us. Doesn't say if he brought the hookers and coke. He said that pale Sting comment was something else. LOL. Herb, you didn't bring the good stuff, man. You disappoint me. Fire Panda with the... I see the magenta, so I know it's big. Fire Panda is here. And look at this. With a $50 Gunthar bomb. I think there is only one way, and the panda means one way, to start Mania Weekend here at Sound Off headquarters. Point to the sign. Well, you can't really see it here, but yes, it is behind me. I will have to be pulling this sign down next week. The sign is over there. I am pointing to it right now. Enjoy it. You only got it for a few more days. Thank you, Fire Panda. JDFVA. This weekend is full of Solomonster content. Sub now. Yes, if you are not subscribed. We might actually hit 86,000 subscribers this weekend. We're already very close. This weekend might put us over the top. Randy Bobandy with another 20. This is my Be the Booker contribution in the hopes the legend himself, greatest cruiserweight champion of all time, Billy Kidman, makes an appearance. Well, you're going to be very upset because Billy Kidman is not in Be the Booker. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Tony Baloney McCall, thank you for the 10. No message. Herb Abrams, again, the SmackDown tag titles not being on the line at Mania is a damn travesty. It's just, again, it's just bizarre to me. It's just, it really is, it's just bewildering to me that of the two tag team titles, the other ones would be the ones defended at WrestleMania. I don't understand that. Tony Baloney says WWE can't call Charlotte Flair a Grand Slam champion counting NXT, and also say that she's a 14-time champion and not count NXT. She's going for winning number 17 at WrestleMania 41. Well, not to them, and it's their record, so she's a 14-time champion. That's the way they want it. That's the way it is. If she wins, she'll be 15. Edwin Garcia, I think LA Knight might lose the title after tonight's SmackDown. No, he could definitely lose. I have him winning, but that one's a little tougher to call than some of the other matches. I could see him losing. I just think Solo getting involved and it backfiring would make more sense, and then it leads right into Jacob and Solo a backlash. And it doesn't have to be for the U.S. title. TK Banks, the 97 Starcade line made me think Cody is losing, then going away for a while, only to come back with black hair and be the savior. Unlike the shit Hogan Sting finish at Starcade, the good guy win. The goods guy win. God, you fucked me up with that super chat, TK. No, that's not going to happen. Joseph Stewart says, have you seen the Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme? Believe it or not, I have not. I have not. Honey, Deep Fried Chicken, WrestleMania 41 stage looks beautiful. It's AI-generated come to life, and we're not talking about practice. It is a beautiful set. Z-Paul, are the Conquistadors listed in Be the Booker? You know what? I think they are. I don't remember, actually. I think they are. Mr. Rod with the 20. Hey, Mr. Rod, thank you. Looks like a great weekend in the books, WrestleMania, and the start of the NBA playoffs. Let's go. Yeah, there's a lot going on. GMB, Tiffany's voice is so damn grating. It's insane. Are you not a fan of Tiffy Time? Is that what you're saying? Oh, there we... Okay. Duff's Vids, thank you. I didn't realize we had caught up. I'm scrolling. For whatever reason, the really early super chats, they don't appear. So I go through those first, and then we catch up with what's on screen. So I guess we're all caught up there. Z-Paul, thank you for renewing the channel membership as well. Appreciate that, brother. Justin Hesse. Look at this guy. 48 months of channel membership. Honored to join the illustrious Blue Badge Club. Everyone have a great weekend. You know, not too many people have the blue badge. I mean, they might have blue balls, but they don't have the blue badge. So you are part of a very esteemed group, a very elite crew. Base Bearers, Theory and Solo are next in line for Cena as the champion. My God. Don't say that. Owen Curtis. Oh, wait, Duff's Vids. Can't miss Duff's Vids. What's the best part of having a twin? Spare parts. Ah. I see. Owen Curtis, if Cena wins on Sunday, wouldn't that make him an 18-time champion? Universal title has not been officially retired, even if it pretty much is at this point. The Universal title, as far as I'm concerned, is a thing of the past. I don't even count it. Honey Deep Fried Chicken says, this chicken tells you how John Cena can get more heat on himself during his match. Cena does a Hogan leg drop, uses Omega's one-winged angel, and steals Ric Flair's figure four. How about he does none of those things? I don't even think Cena can do his top rope leg slice that he used to do. Like, if he busts that out at WrestleMania, I'd be shocked. Kung Fu Joseph. Solo, you said the show was meh. Didn't you listen to Triple H? We have to shut up and just enjoy the show. I know. Just shut up and enjoy the show. That's what he wants everybody to do. I'll bet he does. Spoken like somebody who's finally getting a lot of negative feedback on this road to WrestleMania and isn't taking it very well. That's what it sounds like to me. Duff's Vids, how many people died on the Titanic? A boatload. Ugh. That's awful.
You suck.
That's awful. Timothy Tillis with the $20 super chat. Hope everybody is having a great day. I worked all door dashing. Now I can get to the show. Hey, Timothy, I got your emails earlier as well. Thank you very much. I appreciate the support. More than you know. We got Anthony. The build to mid-card mania made me less interested. You're not the only one I've heard that from. Baze Beer. Duff's Vid says, too soon. What was that, 1912? I still think it's too soon. Nick Grasso, it seems like the Tessa Blanchard experiment is failing badly. Last night in Las Vegas, throughout the match, the crowd was chanting, F you, Tessa. She's a racist. And she's been getting the we coming for you. Oh, my God. The we coming for you chance. Mistake by TNA. Well, look, they knew what they signed up for when they brought her back. I don't think they give a shit. I don't know what would lead you to believe that they care. But as long as that keeps up, you ain't going to see her in WWE. King Nader with the $38 Fuck Kevin Dunn super chat. Hey, Solo, after watching the build to the triple threat match for the first time, I am pulling for Rollins to win. I think he deserves it. I've been calling for a Rollins win for weeks. That's why I'm saying he's going to win. He's been my pick for a while. Honey Deep Fried Chicken with Flavor. I predict Charlotte Flair will cheat to win against Tiffany Stratton. I could see that. She struggles against the rookie. You know, Tiffany ends up being a tougher challenge than she expected, but in the end, she does what any good veteran would do. She cheats to win. I think we're going to have a 15-time women's champion this weekend. And I think that these two are going to continue to feud until the Evolution PLE in July. And that is where Tiffany will win the belt back. It's my prediction. An Evolution show they still haven't announced, by the way, but it does sound like it's going to happen. Honey Deep Fried Chicken, thank you again. Duff's Vids with the 1999. Two blondes are standing on opposite sides of a river. The first blonde is asked, how do you get on the other side? The second blonde says, don't be stupid. You're already there. Get ready for jokes for WrestleMania 41 Night 1 and 2. Hope Sidro and others help out. I don't know if, I don't know where Psycho Sidro is going to be this weekend, but I'm sure you'll do your part to cover for him. Honey Deep Fried Chicken, WWE will be tempted to give Penta the Intercontinental title. They'll be tempted, and I'm going to say that they don't. I think Dom's going to win. Nail with a $10 super chat. Excuse me. Hey, Solo, got a chance to tune in live on a rare occasion. Just want to say thank you for all you do and keeping me company at work during the week. Been a fan for about 2 years now. And you are the GOAT. Thank you, Nail. I'm glad I can keep you company during those boring hours at work. Sometimes people just need something to listen to. That's why I'm here. Arabian Knight, if Rey Mysterio is injured, which obviously looks like he hurt his ankle badly, in my opinion, they should scrap the Gable match and put the SmackDown Tag Team Title TLC match there. No. No. First of all, you don't fuck over Chad Gable like that. I don't like that. That's number one. Number two, how long was the Mysterio Gable match going to be? 10 to 12 minutes max? You do a TLC match, you got to give that at least 15 to 20. You know, they made their bed. You know, they said the TLC match has already been announced for SmackDown next week. It's not happening at WrestleMania. Hey, 86 Mets fan. There should be, if you're watching right now, there should be a subscribe button somewhere below. All you got to do is hit it. That's it. And you'll be subscribed. It's just that simple. Yeah, I mean, again, how long do you think Rey and Penta, or whoever, Rey and Penta, Rey and Gable, or anybody in Gable, if Rey has to be replaced by Phoenix or somebody, how long, honestly, do you think that's going to get? I said 10 to 12. It might not even get that much. Maybe 8 to 10. There's no way it's going to go longer than that. You're not going to do a TLC match in 10 minutes. King Bling Blah, why do you think the referees put on gloves when a wrestler bleeds? The opponent doesn't put on gloves, so why does the referee? And thoughts on the WrestleMania 41 set. Oh, I already talked about the WrestleMania 41 set. As far as the gloves, again, it's a safety measure. The opponent can't put gloves on because they're in the middle of wrestling. And honestly, if your opponent is bleeding, especially if there's a significant amount of blood, you're going to get blood on yourself. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. The referee, though, they're instructed to put gloves on. It's just part of the safety protocol because they're in a position to be able to do so. You know, the other wrestler isn't. Unless they're already wearing gloves. Some wrestlers wear gloves. If Sting was in the ring, he'd already have gloves on. Seth Rollins, when he used to be part of the Shield, right? He had gloves on. Undertaker had gloves on. But it's just a safety measure. Duff's Viz, my uncle took my weed, so I took his wheelchair. If I'm not rolling, neither is he. That's kind of mean. I like it. Thank you, Duff's Viz. Prince Vegeta, 95. What's your thoughts on WrestleMania 19? My favorite WrestleMania, he says. It's got three great matches, Y2J HBK, Rock Austin, and Angle Lesnar. And Vince Hogan was wild. The Booker Triple H match was also decent until the infamous ending. I like WrestleMania 19. It's very surprising that it got such a low buy rate. Like, if you look at WrestleMania buy rates, you look at 17, 18, 19, you see the dip. But the show was loaded with big matches, so it always was very confusing to me. But they also built the show around Hogan and McMahon. Like, if you saw the advertising for the show, you would never know that Angle and Lesnar was the main event on that show. They weren't pushing that. They weren't pushing Rock Austin as like the biggest match. It was all about Hogan and McMahon. And so maybe people looked at that and were like, you know what? You're building a show around these two old geezers wrestling each other. Maybe we don't want to see that. Maybe that had something to do with it. But there were a ton of big matches on that show. Base Beerus says, whoa. Oh, yeah, of course. WrestleMania. I love the WrestleMania jingle. The WrestleMania song is awesome. I wish they still used it. Base Beerus says, a.k.a. Linda McMahon's theme. No. Forget her. It was the WrestleMania theme long before Linda started using it. Nick Grasso says, also, did you see Bron Breakker do his own version of Steiner Math? I heard about it. I did not see it. Arabian Night or Aleister Black debuts against Gable on night one. An easy win. Now, it doesn't work. It's going to be El Grande Americano. He has to wrestle a luchador. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Aleister Black is not a luchador unless you know something I don't. He's the weirdest looking luchador I've ever seen, if he is. Honey Deep Fried Chicken says, just imagine Gunther and Jey Uso's match ends with Gunther intentionally chopping the referee and causing a disqualification. Gunther pulls an Orton versus Cena 2008 No Way Out finish. He chops the referee and then smiles as he calls for the DQ. You know what would happen? I think the fans would cheer. I think the fans would cheer that. Of course, that just means we would end up with another Gunther Jey Uso match at Backlash. I don't need to see that. It needs to end tomorrow. This will be the fourth match they have. How many matches do you want them to have? Jeremy Rose, go bold. Cross Money in the Bank winner. That is bold, because I don't see it happening. But, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be against it. There's still time between now and Money in the Bank, though. Let's see what they do with him. Also says, crazy thought on Orton. He loses to the mystery opponent, maybe Rusev. This makes him snap and complain how he was screwed for his 20-year WrestleMania anniversary. He ends up going crazy and attacks Cody, setting up a feud at Backlash. No, it's very disconnected. Like, I see what you're going for there, but what does one have to do with the other? Like, if he gets screwed in his 20th anniversary match, why would he attack Cody? And you're gonna turn him heel before they go to St. Louis? Come on, can't do that. Oz and Glorious. So when Vince makes his return to the Fed this weekend, will the crowd boo or cheer? And how will that shameless Phil Brooks justify it? I know the fans will bow. That's usually what they do, right? They do the bow. They'll bow. Bobby Means, what I think happens is Rhea wins back the title, and I believe this is where Bianca turns heel, and we get the build-up with Rhea and Bianca. So that is Bobby's prediction. Lord Frieza. My God, we haven't heard from Lord Frieza in a while. My liver and myself are ready for WrestleMania. I hope all is well, Solid Monster. Much love. Much love to you as well. It's good to hear from you. 8-9 Tech. Saw some old highlights of Raw from 03. Unmasked Kane was so over as a heel monster. How WWE didn't put the belt on him back then is beyond me. Well, let's see. 2003. Raw. Who had the belt at the time? I wonder. That might help tell the tale. Duff's Vids, what do you get when you rub two oranges together? Pulp friction. My God. My goodness. Where do you come up with these? Groovy Goose, I'm sure working with Vince hurt most of them, but which WWE announcers released or left in the past decade would you like to see in the current era? In the last decade? Mauro Ranallo. And when will Byron Saxton go into the Hall of Fame? Not until he's retired. King Nader, BRB activated. He means BTB. It's Be the Booker. Not Be Right Back, but we can thank King Nader, and he's worthy of another siren. Because he helped make it happen with a $50 bomb. And yes, we are doing two rounds tonight of Be the Booker. Power Spine Games, the only booking Goldberg may get this week is Be the Booker. That's about it. Duff's Vids, what pronouns does Chocolate go by? Her, she. Gotta move on here. Justin G, hot take, RKO against either Joe Hendry or Steve Austin. Steve Austin. Boy, you must be on the good stuff. I need to take part in whatever you've got going on over there, Justin. King Nader, that last one I botched hard. Yeah, there we go. Yes. Says, Be the Booker activated. I feel better now. He had to send another super chat to correct his mistake. I respect that. Zachary Black with the $20 super chat. Hey, Solo, I'm stuck at work tonight, and I just want to say thank you for your review, because while I do want to watch Smacketh Down, I cannot show up tired to the lunch with my sister's tired. Man, you guys are confusing me with some of these super chats. Much love, dude. Peace. Well, that's the most important part. Much love to you as well, Zachary. I had to read that twice. I hope you enjoy the review. Anthony says, is New Day at Mania due to Big E's surprise return? I mean... Do I believe Big E is returning at WrestleMania? To do what? What's he going to do? No, I don't think so. Justin says, it's the rot gut bourbon. What the hell is that? It'll rot your gut? That doesn't sound like a good time. Base Beer says, round three. Gives no context. Stefan says it looks like Zach is... It looks like... Hold on a second. Says it looks like Zach is already tired. You know what? That's true. Zach, based on your super chat, I think you're already very tired, buddy. Tro says, hey, Solo, can't wait to attend my 10th WrestleMania. I'm thankful for the Facebook group. You are our tribal chief, and we acknowledge you. Well, let me see the ones in the chat if you acknowledge your tribal chief. SMG Kobe, Ilya Dragunov, surprise return for Randy, possibly. It's an interesting one. I hadn't thought about that. I believe he is cleared to return, I believe. I just assumed they were saving him for post-WrestleMania. I don't think it's him, but I do think that would be a kick-ass match. Zachary Black, Alexa Bliss against Randy Orton. Well, she did blind him once with a fireball, so it's possible. It's not like she has a WrestleMania match. Hallelujah says with a $2 super chat. Thank you. Broly, Cross money is as a manager, in my opinion, like a callous type. You know, I think you could do more with him. You know, when I thought he was at his, I'll say best, but I enjoyed it when he was sort of the bodyguard guy and he was all dressed up with the bald head in TNA. Killer Cross. I think that's when I liked him the most. Base beer is Summerfest 2025 theme. Cardi B. WAP by Cardi B. Justin G. Oh, God, no. What if it's Rock and Orton? Oh, no. You don't have to worry about that because it's not going to be. Also, he says, I was hoping as Cody built up and up, he was going to throw out a fine speech, but you didn't get all of it. Thanks, Solid Monster. Yeah, see, JP agrees with me. We need bald-headed Crossback. Base Beerus, Sting wore white face paint. Pale would have worked. Apparently, he was too pale to win the world championship that night. Go figure. After 18 months of build, he didn't have a tan. Base beer is just like AJ criticizing Hogan for not promoting TNA. I thought Rock and Cena were going to do a lot of media and promote the business in the mainstream. Boy, were you wrong. Boy, were you wrong. Yeah, no, we didn't get any of that, did we? We didn't even get the social media promos from Cena that we got with Rock last year. At least when Rock wasn't there, he would have a new drop on Instagram every week. We got nothing from Cena. The average grunt was the Starcade reference a jab at Sting for not inducting Luger. Or am I looking too deep into it? You're looking way too deep into it. It was not a dig at Sting. It was a dig at a dumb story and a dumb excuse as far as why Sting did not win the world title all those years ago. Nightmare Knee with the $10 super chat. I'm sorry, I can't stand Seth Rollins. He reminds me of early 2000s Triple H. Boring promos, but cool entrance. He has go to sleep heat with me. Great in the ring, though.
Shut the fuck up.
Speaking of go to sleep heat with me.
Fuck that tree.
The learning tree has crashed the party. Thank you, Michael. Number one Homo sapien wild prediction. Paul Heyman forms a new dangerous alliance with Omos, Hikuleo, and Tongaloa. After being bullied by Punk, Reigns, and Rollins. That's pretty wild. That'll be the nicest thing I say about it. Dark Effect with the 30. Cena said after his match with Theory, what we saw was all he had in the tank. So if the match is going to be any good, it's due to Cody being a better wrestler than Cena ever was, or it is being very overbooked. Well, I'm sure there'll be some overbooking with the finish. I don't think it's going to be as overbooked as last year's main event was. It was overbooked on purpose, and it was great. I think we may need some smoke and mirrors for this match, for sure. Ricky Cornflakes, who's winning in the playoffs, New York or Detroit? New York, of course. Alexander says, I need to see Travis get his ass whooped by Cody. He may have a receipt coming tomorrow or Sunday, I guess. He's supposed to be there. I don't know if he's performing, but he's supposed to be there. His song is like the WrestleMania theme song this year, so he might even perform it live. I mean, there's been talk that Slayer might perform Damian Priest's theme song live, although that's not confirmed. Cult of Personality is going to be performed by Living Color for CM Punk. But I did see that there was talk that Slayer might possibly perform for Damian Priest's entrance. Tonga Loa Superfan. Oh my God, somebody said his name and he appeared. Some argue that Tonga Loa is the modern day Bret Hart. Both come from family dynasties, won tag team titles with family, and are known as the best in-ring wrestlers of their generation. Maybe he should be called Tonga the Hitman Loa. Now you just shut your mouth with that, okay? You keep your mouth shut, or I'm going to throw you out of here. I will not stand any of that slander. Now you've crossed the line. EJ Slemp, it won't be him, nor should it be him, but imagine if Orton's opponent was Vegas native Matt Riddle. I think he's in town. What is the background song right now? That's what Nick wants to know. It's called Hardline. Hardline by Sandman. Retro KOH, math is too hard. 15 plus 15 equals 30. But 16 plus 16 equals 32. 30 comma two. Yeah, okay. All right. My God. We got all these amateur comedians now. Hitman Loa. Yeah, you like that, huh? We got the Hitman emojis in the chat for our channel members. Drew Johnson. Drew Johnson is with us. Where is The Rock? Says this story doesn't work. The Rock started all of this. Cena winning this match is weak. HBK never chased being the champion when he got clean. He just put everyone else over. He never chased being the champion when he got clean. It's true. He only won the world title once, and that was because they just wanted to give him that moment at Madison Square Garden, and he never held another world championship after that. He was a tag team champion. I think he was a tag team champion twice, wasn't he? With Triple H and then with John Cena. Didn't they win the titles before WrestleMania 23? Actually, wasn't he the weren't they the tag team champions when they wrestled at WrestleMania 23? I thought they were. Arabian Knight. Matt Riddle returns against Randy. RK-Bro reunion. Timothy Tillis renewing his channel membership. I love to see it. Richie, they made a Triple H bronze statue at the Hall of Fame. Oh, I saw it. Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking of something else. You're talking about a bronze statue? I saw a wax figure of Triple H. This is the stuff of nightmares. I didn't see the bronze statue, though. Cecil Robinson attended my first SmackDown. Looking forward to both WrestleMania and Raw. Vegas is pretty cool so far. Well, enjoy it, brother. I've been to Vegas a couple of times, and I enjoyed it both times. I'd love to go back. I didn't make it this year. But have fun, man. That wax figure was horrifying. It is... You know what? I gotta find it now. Hold on a second. I'm sure some people didn't see it. And so why should I be the only one sharing in this nightmare? This thing is just, my God. This is just ridiculous. What is it even doing there? Like, why would they have a wax figure? God, it's doing the Triple H point. Hold on. People need to see this. This is absolutely terrifying. Actually, I have two pictures of it. I think the second one is worse. Anyway, we'll bring that up here in a little bit. Let's keep going here. Michael Darcy. Hey, Solo, do you have any interest in catching any GCW or indie events this week? Have the indie shows at WrestleMania weekend jumped the shark? After watching Joey Janela versus Sabu, I think so. Uh-oh, was that as bad as I thought it would be? No, not this week, because I'm so busy with everything else, dude. I just haven't had the time to even think about any of the other ones. Had people reaching out to me about the Progress show the other night. I just haven't had time. It's not for a lack of interest, but there's just so much going on and only so much time. 8-9 Tech, which WrestleMania match did you have the least expectations for, but over-delivered? And which one you had high expectations for, but under-delivered? I definitely had higher expectations for AJ and Nakamura at 34. I don't know if that's like the only one, but that's the one I always think of. The one I went into with very low expectations, I don't know. What did I go into with super low expectations that kind of blew me away? I have to think about that. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know. Plus Ultra Adrian, my sister went to New Orleans last week and loved it. Since WrestleMania is going to be there next year, I may actually go and experience New Orleans. You should. New Orleans is great. That's another one. You're going to have a lot of fun there. I'll probably be there next year. Again, I've been there twice. Both times were for WrestleMania. Blue Jay says, who knows sells better, Gypsy Joe or Hogan? Probably Gypsy Joe. Tongaloa Superfan, the world would be a better place if everyone had a little Tongaloa in their lives. You know, I've said it before, Tongaloa, as he continues to rehab from his injury, he probably has a lot of downtime. And we found his burner account here. So, everybody welcome, Tongaloa. We wish you nothing but the best. Take all the time you need. Brandon Proctor, with 35 months of channel membership, hoping it's Rusev Day on Sunday. Also, Cena wins number 17, and Rollins joins with Heyman, calling it now. Very possible. Solomonster stream going to outlast the Hall of Fame tonight. How's that going? Somebody in the chat said Michelle McCool is still talking. Has she been talking for a long time? Would you rather listen to Michelle McCool or me? Dr. Scorpio, at the time, I honestly thought for some reason WrestleMania was last week until I realized it was this week. Shows how much I've been paying attention or invested in wrestling these days. Well, also, WrestleMania usually doesn't happen this late. So to be fair, typically by now, it would have been over. So if you haven't been paying attention, it's not that surprising. Michelle McCool is still talking. Hey, 86 Mets fan, you're already here, brother. I see you. You're already here. Just you being here is enough. I appreciate the support. He hasn't been able to figure out how to support or subscribe. He's an older fan. Somebody help him out. Help out one of our fellow members in the chat. Is Bronson Reed ready for a return yet? He is not, unfortunately. I don't think he will be until later this summer. I mean, it was a pretty gnarly injury at Survivor Series, so it's going to be a while yet before we see him. Justin G, Tongaloa superfan, thought things were glittering like gold, but turns out it was just mica. Or Camacho. All right, well, I warned you. I'm going to show you this image of this wax figure. Don't say I didn't warn you. And I have no idea whose idea this was. Let me make this a little bit bigger here. There he is. There's Wax Triple H doing the finger point. And as bad as this, hey, Reekinson, what's going on, man? And as bad as that is, I'll give you one even worse. My God, this is so much worse. This looks like something out of Total Recall. Look at this. My God, look at the eyes. Oh, my God. Who does he remind me of? This is horrifying. That's terrible. I don't know whose idea this was, but yeah, this is pretty fucking bad. So I want this to be your lasting image before your head hits the pillow tonight. This is your new Hall of Fame inductee. This is Triple H. Looks like evil Kojak. Well, Kojak didn't have a beard like that. This is awful. Oh, man. Anyway, who signed off on this? Well, probably not Triple H, I'm guessing. All right, let's get him out of there. Power Spying Games. 8-year-old me loved Michelle, but she's taking too long. Well, this is her moment, and I guess she's going to enjoy every second, and ain't nobody going to say anything to her because The Undertaker, I'm sure, is not going to be too happy if they give her the hook. Plus Ultra Adrian. Thanks, Solo. Now I'm going to gouge out my eyes. Jeremy says, would you like to work for WWE PR? After this week? No. Dr. Scorpio, that statue needs some well-deserved criticism. Yes. Yes, it does. He may not like it, but you can absolutely go ahead and criticize that statue. All right, well, we hit our Super Chat goal much earlier in the night. And the main goal as well, 622 likes, which is great. We could do better, though. Let's beef that up towards 700. Richie says they did make a bronze statue of Triple H, so he gets a statue before Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin. He got a statue and a wax figure. Interesting. I guess it pays to be the boss. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
It pays to be the boss. Man, Snowdog, is that true? We have some catching up to do. He says the Hall of Fame on YouTube has 20,000 likes. We're lagging a little behind that. I would love to have 20,000 likes. Let's see if we can get those likes up. All right, be the booker time. This is round one of two. Perhaps we will have many rounds this weekend. That's going to depend on you guys. But here on a Friday night, early Saturday morning, kick off the first round here with William Regal and Tajiri, or Steve Austin used to call him, Tajiri. Former Raw Tag Team Champions right there. Hey, Navy 4181. Thank you for the super chat. That Triple H statue needs a jet ski to the eye. Yes, it does. I spied you earlier, Navy 4181. I happened to click on a live stream that Conrad was doing with Eric Bischoff, and I saw you dropped a super chat there too. So you've been making the rounds today. It's good to hear from you. Regal and Tajiri against the Holly Cousins, Hardcore and Crash. I was a fan of the Holly Cousins and the whole super heavyweight gimmick that Crash Holly did. And I also liked the stuff that Regal and Tajiri did. I thought it was very entertaining. So that gets a bell. That gets a thumbs up from me. All right, women's match. Uh-oh. Ronda Rousey wants a stipulation. She wants a stipulation added right now, or else. Or else what? You'll threaten to return? Okay. Got to pick a stip. We're not even waiting for round two. We got to pick a stip for this women's match, and it's going to be a Texas death match. Oh, my God. A Texas death match with the ladies. This should be very interesting. Lita is going to be in this Texas death match. Lita is going to go one-on-one with Medusa. Hey, you know what? That's a pretty big match right there. Lita and Medusa in a Texas death match. That's box office. That's money. I like it. And our main event tonight, main event number one, has Bobby Roode, former TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Good to see Bobby Roode. I'm sure Bobby Roode will be working WrestleMania this weekend backstage. And his opponent will be Carmelo Hayes taking on Bobby Roode. He's going to parlay his Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal win into a main event here in Be the Booker. That's your Andre Battle Royal winner right there. Maybe I'm just feeling extra generous tonight, but that's a clean sweep, folks. That's a clean sweep for round one of Be the Booker. And you know what we do here for round two? We pick stipulations. That's what we do. Not everybody is sold on that. Well, you know what? You're not the Booker. I am. So here we go. We're going to pick stipulations for these matches. Now we're going to start with the tag team match. And it is going to be, look at this. Sala Monster's choice. Is Michelle McCool still talking? You're not serious. Sala Monster's choice. I get to pick the stip, huh? What stipulation do I want? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Do something a little bit different here. We're going to do the women's match first. And the stipulation that I am choosing is that the second woman that I land on here in Be the Booker, Sala Monster will date that second woman. It's the Sala Monster goes on a date match. How about that? That'll make things interesting. Here we go. Be the Booker time. Now remember, it's the second one. It's the second person I pick, not the first one. Hikaru Shida is in our women's match here in round number two. My God. What is this? What is this going to be? I feel like we need a drum roll for this one. Oh my God. Her opponent will be Chelsea Green. You know what? Hey. I like the Canadians. I like their bacon, too. I'm a big fan of Canadian bacon. We might have that in common. I might have to fight Matt Cardona for her. That's okay. I'm okay with that. All right. Now we pick our tag team match. We have got a hardcore match. It's going to be a hardcore tag team match. So Solid Monster likes ham. I love ham. I just had a ham sandwich the other day, actually. Actually, I did something last week that was kind of foolish, actually. I had a ham sandwich with bacon. And then I realized after, I'm like, wait, what? It's kind of redundant. All right, tag team match. Here we go. Tag team hardcore match. Solid Monster can be an honorary Canadian any day. I would be more than happy to. I'll even sing the anthem. All right, Public Enemy, Rocco Rock, and Johnny Grunge. Very appropriate. They're going to be in a hardcore match. Against the Faces of Fear. I feel like that was a match in WCW. Swine on swine sandwich. Yeah, I realized, like, after the fact, I go, man, this is not the healthiest choice. All right, we may be in for our first back-to-back clean sweep. I don't know that we've ever done this before. I should have added pork. You know what? You're right. I should have added pork. I could have had a ham and pork sandwich with bacon. Man, it's a missed opportunity. All right, main event. Our stipulation is going to be... What is our stipulation going to be? A stretcher match. Okay, well, it's going to be a stretcher match. That's it. Now we know. It's going to be Sting. Oh, look, he looks too pale. He's definitely too pale to be the champion. It's Crow Sting from WCW. And, nope. I jumped the gun. I hope I didn't just jinx it. Sting and one big SOB, Braun Strowman. Dude, we're coming up aces tonight. It's appropriate. This WrestleMania is in Vegas. We're coming up aces. We got back-to-back clean sweeps. That's how you do it. That's how it's done. Now we just got to carry that momentum over into the weekend. Rican Sun said, I thought his shirt said... Oh, man. Rican Sun is you sure you're not a little dyslexic there? He says, I thought his shirt said one, I can't even say it. One big slob. No, it said one big SOB. It didn't say one big slob. That's a completely different shirt. That was me when I had my bacon and ham sandwich. It's one big slob. Oh, the Sonic sound. I played it. I played the Sonic sound. We had our double clean sweep. I love it. That's right. 6 for 6. Unlike Juan Soto. Is double Sonic a first? I believe it is. I can't remember a time where we did that. There's no way Michelle McCool is still talking. Chris Manson says she's still yapping. She's still yapping. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, look, I know they're on the West Coast, but it's 2:00 in the morning and Triple H still hasn't come out on stage yet. Did I see Samantha Irvin's music video? Of course I did. Somebody linked me to it and I watched it. And I enjoyed the tune. Power Blind. I bet that sandwich was Booker T voice. Good. It was good. Yep, it was. It was very good. I enjoyed it. Soto tied the game yesterday. Yes, but he has not gone 6 for 6 now, has he? All right. Daryl says she's done. Okay, so her speech is over. This sounds like an epic speech. I have to go listen to it. Thank you, guys. This was a very fun stream. And we haven't even gotten into WrestleMania Night 1 yet. That's coming up later today because it's already Saturday. So this is going to be the Night 1 review Saturday night after WrestleMania. I will be live right back here on YouTube. You don't have to stray very far. And then the same thing for Night 2 on Sunday. And in between all that, episode 9-10 of The Sound Off will be dropping. I'll have a lot to say on that podcast about all kinds of stuff from this week. And then, of course, we'll talk the fallout from WrestleMania Night 1 and a lot of AEW stuff as well. So it's going to be a full podcast. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Hit that like button on your way out. It always helps. We got to get these videos into the algorithm so it'll push out to other people and they'll know to come on over to this channel for WrestleMania this weekend. And I will be back with you in less than 24 hours. I'm going to try to watch the Hall of Fame in the morning. I'm going to try to catch NXT. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to watch all of Stand and Deliver. I'd like to. I'm going to try to. I'm still doing work on my podcast notes. It's going to be a very busy day. Be well. Stay safe. Get some rest. And I will see you back here very soon for Night 1 of WrestleMania. Until then, take care, guys.